The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Tuesday, November 19th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police have arrested a woman in connection with the death of her 32-year-old daughter last year, according to Philadelphia police. 63-year-old Yelena Nezhikovskaya is charged with third-degree murder, false reporting, and drug delivery resulting in death. Her daughter, Yulia, who was a quadriplegic, died at their home on the 9600 block of Busselton Avenue on December 17th, 2018. Yelena was arrested over the weekend. The cause, the official cause of death was determined to be drug intoxication and the manner to be homicide. Investigators say Yelena gave Yulia a legal dose of medication and alcohol. Neighbors say they can't imagine how difficult it is to care for a 32-year-old quadriplegic, but they also can't imagine it driving someone to murder their own daughter. Neighbors also say it was normal to hear Yulia yelling in her mentally disabled state. Yelena has a preliminary hearing on December 4th. The Taliban said they freed on Tuesday an American and an Australian hostage held since 2016 in exchange for three top Taliban figures who were released by the Kabul government and flown to Afghanistan the previous day. The hostages, American Kevin King and Australian Timothy Weeks, were released in southern Zabul province, ending their more than 3 years in captivity. It wasn't immediately known if the two hostages, both professors at the American University of Kabul, were handed over to Afghan government representatives, intermediaries, or U.S. forces. Their freedom came hours after the Afghan government freed three Taliban prisoners and sent them to Qatar. It appears the Taliban had refused to hand over the two professors until they received proof that the men had reached Qatar. A high school football game that had been postponed after a shooting on Friday night in Pleasantville, New Jersey, will resume later this week at Lincoln Financial Field while the youngest victim continues to fight for his life. The Philadelphia Eagles organization said the game will be played at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. The man who police say was the intended target of the shooting was hit and seriously wounded. The shooting at the game between the Pleasantville Greyhounds and the Camden Panthers also left a 10-year-old critically injured and a 15-year-old boy with a graze wound. The 10-year-old remains in critical condition at Cooper University Hospital. The men facing charges for the shooting include Alvin Wyatt, who faces three counts of attempted murder.
It's a horrible story, but it's very cool of them to open up the link for that.
And let them play the game there. Yeah. In sports this morning... The Flyers have called up playmaking center Morgan Frost from AHL affiliate Lehigh Valley and sent Carson Twarinski down to the Phantoms. Frost, a 20-year-old prospect who the Flyers selected in the first round of the 2017 draft, had 12 points in 16 games with Lehigh Valley this season. The Flyers are on the road tonight with a game against Florida against the Panthers, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. In Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the L.A. Chargers last night at an NFL game in Mexico City. Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs' offense to a 24-17 win. Daniel Sorensen grabbed Philip Rivers' fourth interception at the goal line with 18 seconds to play, and the Chiefs stayed on top of the AFC West with the win. Mahomes passed for 182 yards and hit Travis Kelce for his only touchdown, while LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams rushed for touchdowns as the Chiefs hung on to win the fourth regular season NFL game played in Mexico. And after a three-game road trip, the Sixers are off until tomorrow night when they'll return home to host the New York Knicks. The tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. So Tuesday morning, just squeaking our way into the work week, and we have some stuff planned for you. You know we'd like to hand out some ink. You know, we saw a picture somebody sent of a most recent Preston and Steve tattoo recipient who apparently loves Dunkin' Donuts as well. Did you see that one?
I did see that. Yeah. That's
it's crazy. Our names, Preston and Steve, huge on their inner forearm, but in the font and color of the Dunkin' Donuts logo. It's hilarious. Great.
It is.
And that's commitment, man. They got it very, very large.
It's not like it's discreetly hidden in the tattoo. It's Preston and Steve.
Yeah, so if you want to do that, that is totally up to you, and you get 100% approval from us. But if you want to be more subtle and be a little more artistic, you can do that, too. It's up to you. You are the master of your tattoo. You just do have to include us in there somewhere.
You do you.
You do you with us.
Yes.
Somehow or another. But text the word tattoo to 39333, and we'll see if you can win. We'll grab a random winner at some point during the program. We have our friends from Primo Hoagie stopping by today. They're going to drop off some goodies for us to eat, and we will share the love because we will give away some gift cards so that you have a chance to get out and eat up as well. So we'll do that. I know we have some movie screening passes. We have some other prizes. We'll have your chance to win through the course of the morning as well. So we're just going to hang, have a good time,
yes,
get some stuff away, do things like that throughout this particular day. We're ramping up. We are now inside 2 weeks away from the Camp Out for Hunger. It is now officially less than 2 weeks away.
Planning's intense.
So make sure that you make your plans to come and join us and participate. And we have a lot of clients that are helping out as well, like Acme and Hand in Stone and some other the others that you hear us talk about that are donating portions of the proceeds. So if you have a chance to, and you want to go out and buy some gift cards, or you want to, you know, go ahead and do some things you would normally do, try and target some sponsors that are supporting the Camp Out for Hunger. It'll only help. And you can already get whatever services you were going to have in the first place, but have a portion of the proceeds go to the Camp
Absolutely. Out. I was in Acme over the weekend, and I heard us coming to the sound system for the
That's
first time.
Right. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
We recorded some stuff that you'll hear in your local Acme when you stop in, which is pretty solid. So, all right, so these things and more taking place. I have an entertainment report ready to go and a stupid question with some giveaways in conjunction with that. We'll tell you about the Word of the Week, probably some other stuff in a little bit. We'll be back in a little while. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Got a text from somebody that says, hey, everyday listener, diehard fan, hope to see you guys at Camp Out on Monday. Gadzooks, that's from John. Well, I hope you don't mean this Monday, John, because it's not this Monday. It's the following Monday, so just a heads up. But we are officially under 2 weeks now.
Yes.
So we're getting ready for that. Stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Patrick Warburton, Putty, Friday, January 10th at Punchline. The question has to do with Morse code. And I just need you to tell me what SOS is in Morse code. In dots and dashes, please.
Yes.
215-263-WMMR. If you want to go da-da-da-da-da or whatever, I don't care. But just dots and dashes. Thank you. SOS in Morse code. I had always wished I would have learned that. There's no way I could at that speed. You knew it?
I had a quasi-ham radio setup. It was one of those Radio Shack kits.
Yeah.
And I had the whole thing, and I was pretty good. You know, spelling out letter per letter, and I was pretty good at I don't remember a single thing.
Right. I just know SOS.
Yeah, that's it.
Pretty much it. And YYZ. I do know that, too, because that's the beginning of that song.
Right, yeah.
Morse code YYZ.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's exactly what
that
is.
I think we talked about this.
Yeah, it's from the Toronto airport code is YYZ, and Rush was flying in, and they heard it because they were on a private plane, and every airport has a beacon.
Right. We learned that from Die Hard 2.
Exactly.
Yes.
We did, yes. And they heard da 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 da. They're like, that's pretty cool.
Let's do that.
We should make a song out of it. And they did. All right. So there's your Rush lesson for the day. Birthdays today while we are awaiting your answer. And we'll start off with a progressive rock band member. Tuesday, November 19th is the birthday of Justin Chancellor of Tool. They played last night.
You know anybody who saw the show?
No, I haven't heard any feedback yet. Says, you know, I slept all night, so. But I would like to hear eventually. But maybe he was super extra happy because it was his birthday last night and put on a super duper awesome show. I don't really know. But they are a hell of a talented band, man. It takes a lot to listen to them, though, because it's a It's a mind full of music.
There's a mood involved. You got to be in the right mood.
Yeah.
But kinetic, cool, yeah. Always interesting.
Very heady.
Yes.
48 years old today, Justin Chancellor. Another musician, Matt Sorum. He's a great drummer. Oh. He's one of these guys that can kind of sit in and play with anybody. Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, The Cult. To name a few, he is celebrating his...
Oh, I didn't know he's with The Cult.
59th birthday. Yeah, I don't know how long or what era of The Cult, but he definitely played with them. What era were you in? But he's solid and is 59 years old today. Actor Adam Driver. Kylo Ren from the Star Wars universe is 36 today. And he's one of those... unassuming, good-looking guys. Women like
women do dig him.
He's got his own style, like Adrian Brody. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's got a big nose.
Yeah,
but he wears it well, and he's a solid actor. I like him.
First time I saw him was on that show, Girls. Right?
Is that where he comes from?
That's, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I always mention this when a cast member has a birthday, but This Is Where I Leave You is a great movie. He's in it. And he plays kind of the D-bag brother.
Did you see Black Klansman?
I did not. No.
Really?
Really good.
Okay. Really good. He's really good in it as well.
All right. He's 36 today. We also have Jodie Foster, one of the greats, man. Yep. She's 57 years old today.
She was in Freaky Friday, right? Was she? Who was
The original Freaky Friday was Jodie Foster. And instead of the remake with Lindsay Lohan, she played in a band, it was water skiing. Was her
water skiing?
Do you remember that?
I do. You're right. Yeah, it wasn't a band.
She was a water skier.
She was also the original. She was the Coppertone baby, wasn't she?
She was. That is correct. The classic logo of the dog pulling the bikini bottom off of the little girl, and you see the tan line. That's Jodie Foster.
I wonder how well that Freaky Friday movie holds up, because I remember watching it as a kid and loving it.
It was remade as Taxi Driver.
Okay.
Yeah. The original one?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it doesn't hold up at all.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see it anymore.
No.
That's why those
movies. You notice they don't show like Super Dad anymore with Bob Crane or any of those old Disney movies.
Or Steve, the computer that wore tennis shoes.
Yeah. Actually, Herbie, that was another, the Love Bug, that was another one that I remember as a kid loving.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
But the computer that wore tennis shoes, that was... Kurt Russell.
Yeah. And then it was Jan Michael Vincent was in the other one about it was like a Tarzan guy who was a college athlete. Do you remember that one?
No.
So they had a whole series of those. And that's Super Dad was in that. Herbie the Love Bug was
Shaggy
in that.
Dog and Shaggy D.A.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Those were
Flubber.
Those were Flubber. Yeah. Yeah. They were fun at the time. Yeah. They were a lot of fun at the time, but they do not hold up at all now. But anyhow, Jodie Foster is 57 years old today. Meg Ryan has got a year on Jodie. She's 58.
We were just talking about her. She was wasn't she seen they believe an engagement ring for John Cougar Mellencamp?
Yeah, and they've been together for a long time. I think they've really just been taking their time. Who knows if it'll end up happening. Do me a favor, Nick. Pull up her IMDb, if you don't mind, because I would like to see when the last time she actually worked was.
Last year.
All right. A TV series called Picture Paris?
What?
I don't know that
what?
One.
What?
Did that actually come out?
And then 2015 was the time before that. She was in a movie called Ithaca.
The last one I remember at being promoted at all was she was like a boxing manager. I think it was Omar Epps was the boxer. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because of the poor facial surgery work that she's had done. I just don't, you know, you can't act anymore.
No, well, no. And it's, the only it, one it's
who,
hard.
Who kind of pulls that
if your
off.
Your face doesn't move.
Is Cher. And she kind of sometimes plays either herself or a caricature of herself, you know what I mean? But, Meg Ryan tweaked it a bit much. And, listen, if you're an actor and you can't move your face.
Yeah. It really works against you.
It does.
Tell me about it, sister friend.
You remember her, Top Gun and Armed and Dangerous, how cute
she was. When Harry Met Sally. Yeah.
She was the perfect girl next door, fresh-faced, blonde, America's sweetheart type, you know? Yeah.
And she's legitimately a good actress.
Yep. So she's 58 today. Allison Janney, great actress.
She's in a new series that they keep teasing on HBO with Hugh Jackman. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's playing an Aussie.
Okay. I will have to see that. She was so great in I, Tonya as her psychotic mother, her just evil mom. She played her one. She won a Golden Globe.
She was nominated for an Oscar as well, I believe.
I don't know if she won. She might have won it. I don't know.
So she's in the second season of Kominsky Method, Preston, and she plays herself. And she goes up against Michael Douglas, who has the acting school. And the students would much rather learn from her than from him. And she goes, and I'll give you four reasons. And then she cites off all the awards that she's won.
Wow.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
All right. So she's 60 today. Calvin Klein, the designer.
Nothing comes between me and my Calvin Klein, right?
77 today.
Yeah, I automatically went to Back to the Future. You went to
that's right.
Brooke Shields, and I went to Marty McFly.
That's right. Calvin.
Calvin.
So 77 years old today. It's also Larry King's birthday today.
Larry.
Yeah, Larry's 86 years old. Former talk show host.
Larry.
Larry do any kind of work now?
He does his own. It's a web series, I think, or it's on some sub channel. But he's basically doing the same interviews he did on CNN.
The last three birthdays are all in their 80s. So Larry is 86.
And Larry getting the divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big divorce. He has a lot of living left to do. Yeah. A lot of women out there.
Ted Turner. Is 81. Does he have Alzheimer's?
He's got something degenerative.
Yeah,
the founder
so.
Of CNN. We just mentioned CNN. So yeah. Ted Turner founded that cable news network.
Lewy body dementia, Preston.
Robin Williams had, yeah. So he had the foresight of satellites and television. He was at that from the beginning.
He created the superstation concept.
Atlanta. He had a TV station in Atlanta. He's like, and that's why... I lived in South Carolina, and we would get that Atlanta television station, and it was wild time. Yeah, we got TBS.
And you'd have to watch the Braves games.
We'd watch Braves games, exactly.
It's like, what am I watching this?
That was it. So, but he saw the future, man. He absolutely did. 81 years old today. And then last birthday, Dick Cavett. Had him as an in-studio guest one time.
Very cool.
Yeah,
you got to remember that Dick Cavett scored, well, in pop culture history, the day after Woodstock, he scored interviews with half those artists on his show.
My favorite was when he sat down with not only John Lennon, but Forrest Gump as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That religion, too.
Yeah, and we didn't even know it, but he inspired the song Imagine.
You're a complete imbecile. I've never been with someone so stupid as you are. You're incredibly dumb. I mean, savagely, stupidly dumb. Dangerously dumb.
And that inspired him to write one of the greatest songs.
Imagine if you were dead, how much better the world would be because you're so dangerously, stupidly dumb.
We could all die from your stupidity. Wow. Dick Cavett is 83 years old today. All right. Let's see if we can get the answer to the stupid question. What is SOS in Morse code? 215.
Look at the answers.
I know. They're literally dots and dashes that they wrote on our monitor here. We should take a picture of that.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR is the number. What is SOS in Morse code? That is the question. And I will go to Steve for the answer. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, sir. All right. So in Morse code, what is SOS?
It's going to be three dots, three dashes, three dots.
You are correct.
Yeah.
An S is three dots and an O is three dashes. Hang on a second, Steve. Kathy, did you know that? Or is that only a guy thing?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I also believe the first time it was implemented for a naval disaster was the Titanic.
Really?
Yes.
I was not aware of that. There are other distress signals, which are international, and that's CQD.
That's, yeah.
And SOS. Those are the three.
That's the Zach Morse code.
The Zach Morse
code. Zach Morse code.
All right. Steve got it right, so we are going to give him a pair of tickets to see Patrick Warburton. Friday, January 10th, 9:45 at Punchline Philly. You can get tickets for Patrick's January 10th and 11th shows at Ticketmaster.com. They are 21 and over shows, by the way. Well, we've steered away from the family for a little bit. We'll dive back in.
Unfortunately, stuff builds up when you see. You can tap it day by day, or you can let it accrue.
Yeah, we've been Jenner and Kardashian free for a while, but we'll go to this. After micromanaging her wildly successful company, Kylie Cosmetics, since its launch in 2015, 21-year-old billionaire Kylie Jenner has sold a majority stake.
51%, right?
Yep, in it to Coty for $600 million.
Ah!
The 51% stake of the $1.2 billion company goes to a brand conglomerate that also owns CoverGirl, OPI, Rimmel, GHD, and Clairol.
So Coty is the umbrella company? Okay. I've heard that name for years with cosmetics.
Jenner will maintain creative control, she said in a release. She said, I'm excited to partner with Coty to continue to reach even more fans of Kylie Cosmetics and Kylie Skin around the world. I look forward to continuing the creativity and ingenuity for each collection that consumers have come to expect and engage with my fans across social media, she says.
Speaking of social media, is her Instagram following number 270 million, Nick?
No, it's 151. Sorry, I was looking at it.
What's Twitter?
I'll check, but I'm interested, actually, in this for the first time. I'm interested in a Jenner story because it seems to me that $600 million might not be enough. You know, getting out now, she's only had it for 5 years. I bet it'd be worth a billion or two.
Yeah, but she still owns almost half of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
I missed that part. Yep.
Yeah, so she owns 49%, and she just made $600 million.
Right.
So let's see how much she makes over the next how many years, whatever you gave her.
And so, she's also starting sub-companies, and she could also buy back controlling interest if she wanted to.
And this essentially means she's letting people who know what they're doing handle it now.
Like everyone did from the beginning, because she had no idea.
Yeah. But while many on social media applauded her money moves, others predicted a dip in quality. Someone had commented saying, coming to a shelf at Walmart near you. Well, yeah, right? Yeah.
If you get the product out and people... So, Kathy, you use Kylie products
I wanted to try it. So I went out. I think it was like last year around the holiday season, and I bought one of the lip kits. Yeah.
And how did
you like it?
Yeah.
I liked it. A lot of people complain that it wears off pretty quick. I wouldn't disagree with that, but I just bought it. I bought the gloss, so I use other lipstick under it, or sometimes I'll just throw the gloss on. This is cosmetic chat for the morning.
Please. Just a caveat here, though. Kathy often applies lipstick to her eyes and eyeliner to her lips, so she has a different way of putting on her makeup.
But money-wise,
I hate it, though, at all.
Money-wise, though, there have been other celebs that have, when they put their products in these chain stores, a la Target, Walmart, or whatever.
Jessica Simpson. Yeah, her line of stuff has made her a billionaire.
Yeah, but...
And it's all department store stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
Isn't she predominantly in department stores? She's not Rodeo Drive kind of stuff.
No, she's not. But, like, you can find her stuff at the discounted stores, like TJ Maxx and Marshall's and places like that. So I'm not really sure. Like, usually that means it didn't sell well, but she's a billionaire, so
really the goal for anybody selling anything is get it into Walmart. I mean, so many people buy their everything at Walmart. If you sell it there, you're gonna sell a lot more.
Agreed.
I'm more a Maxinista, but
of course you
still
are. Yeah.
Lily Reinhart has issued a PSA to fans about the dangers of photoshopping apps. The Riverdale star shared her thoughts on Instagram stories, specifically targeting Body Tune, which can tweak a person's appearance. The star has become celebrated as one of the staunchest body positive celebs around, consistently calling out photoshopping as a major mental health issue.
Of course, though, she's gorgeous.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
She says, this morning I was looking for an app that would help me resize my photos to better fit Instagram, and then I came across this app, and it then proceeded to play a little clip as part of their advertisement, which I screen recorded. After that, a video played showing a woman's arm being slimmed down in the app. She said, this is not okay. This is why people develop eating disorders. This is why social media has become hazardous to our health. This is why people have unrealistic expectations of their bodies. She also said, I implore you, do not use these kinds of apps. If you Photoshop your body, you're adding to this problem. This is how unrealistic standards of human bodies have been created, to the point where people alter their bodies surgically to achieve unattainable results. We are better than this.
I understand the message. I think it's legit. Yet, have you ever seen the population of Riverdale?
Oh, yeah. They're stunning.
They're all stunning.
Yeah, she would never have to use something this, or would want to use something like that. But I think it's cool that she's saying you don't have to either. I mean, she said that looking skinnier in a photo on Instagram is not worth the detrimental psychological effects that the photoshopping apps have given our generation.
I'll tell you what is pretty cool, though. Do you on the new iPhone, that camera? That is a mofo.
Does it make you look skinny?
Well, there are all sorts of just effects that the photographs have never looked better. And taking photographs of people I found they it just looks much better. The way the, you know,
the lighting is
no light,
and all that.
There's no light on earth that flatters me. It's always going to be a mess. But still,
I've used filters before, but those like body where you have to like, you know, make yourself look skinnier or stretch yourself out. Like I look like I'm on stilts. Like I've played around with them. I don't know how to do it. How do all these people do it to make it look real?
Oh, the ones who get good at it are really good at it. But the ones that aren't are hilarious, especially when you see like around the hips where the environment around them is bent as well.
Yeah, like the chair behind them.
Yeah, the chair is bent.
I took a picture with somebody recently who posted a photo of us together and had doctored all of it. And I look like a wax figure. And I'm like, okay.
I've told you, a friend of mine did that to me, and she was like, here. And I was like, wow, you think I look that bad that you need to make me look like a wax figure?
Let me say this to anyone who takes a picture with me. Let me be the contrast to your good looks. You don't have to adjust anything on me. I'll serve as the contrast and gladly do so.
Yep. She said, once you alleviate yourself of the pressure to conform to fake or unreal standards, the world is a lot brighter, Reinhardt concluded, I promise you.
You make the world so much brighter.
If only we all sounded
yes,
like that.
Like pituation.
Yeah. Since 2017's DC mega hit Justice League was released, fans have been left wanting more.
Hold one second.
Yes.
Was one of our friends, people that we know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you are.
You look great.
You are right.
You have no wrinkles.
That's one of the new exhibits at Madame Tussauds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I told you.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, moving on. Since Justice League was released, fans have been left wanting more. Director Zack Snyder, who was also behind Man of Steel and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, chose to step down from the project when his daughter had died. Marvel's Joss Whedon then took the reins and guided the film to completion. Whedon was tasked with cutting the film's runtime to 120 minutes or less, and injecting humor after Batman v Superman's negative reception. Plot changes and rewrites ensued, and while the film netted $657.9 million worldwide against a $300 million budget, fans have increasingly pushed for a near-mythical Snyder cut of the film. And apparently it does exist, but Warner Brothers would have to pour millions into the effort as it's a rough cut with unfinished shots and unmixed audio. So
everyone's sort of pushing for it. Gal Gadot, Godot. All of the various people, principals.
Ray Fisher and Ben Affleck, they've all jumped in. Yeah.
And listener, Bob, who actually got us the contact with Zack Snyder, he's his brother-in-law, indicated that they're really fighting for this. I honestly, the director's cut, the Zack Snyder cut of Batman v Superman, adds back in about 30 minutes of stuff that makes that theatrical cut make so much more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, really essential plot points were cut out of the theatrical release.
The whole thing, though, and it's weird because I do enjoy it, but I'm talking about all of it. You know, the Batman v Superman, all of it seems rushed to me. And it's I feel like they were up, they maybe felt like they were up against like a time crunch because of the Marvel stuff going on.
And so, Case, there's a very good point to make that you introduce a whole bunch of characters in like basically in quick time movies and mm-hmm. Batman v Superman, and they had to really cover lost ground because they'd spend so much time with Batman. That said, though, I really impressed. I know you agree. I love the movies.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
I did. I absolutely did. Snyder himself is asking Warner Brothers if they will agree to it. So we'll see if that ends up happening. Desperate Housewives alum Felicity Huffman was all smiles as she fulfilled her community service duties.
I'm having such a good time.
She was photographed delivering cupcakes to a building where she's been completing community services.
Yeah, a cup.
Part of her sentence after pleading guilty for her role in the college admission scandal.
These are cupcakes.
She's a fan.
Does
anyone want some cupcakes?
After completing 11 days behind... But don't we have a click that I did the other day that
we've
never
heard
yet? We
do. We have not visited it yet.
We will have to hear that at some point. All right.
Is she going to work again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is what?
Is she going to work again?
Yes, she will. She copped to it immediately. She did her, many people have come back from very bad career choices. Mel Gibson, look at him.
Robert Downey Jr. Huh?
Right, Robert Downey Jr. So she did something. She paid her time. She's doing her public service.
Thankfully has Lori Loughlin making her look better.
Right, so much better. Keep that's at it, Lori. If you could kill someone, that'd be great.
After completing 11 days behind bars, she's expected to complete 250 hours of community service, undergo a year of probation, and pay a $30,000 fine. She's reportedly working at a local rehab center for previously homeless girls who want to get their GED. It's called the Teen Project. And she's also enjoying her freedom. She was spotted out with her husband, William H. Macy, driving around in a Porsche.
Mm.
She joined the vast majority of parents and coaches wrapped up in the scandal by pleading guilty. But, of course, Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo Giannulli, are pleading not guilty, and they're trying to fight that.
Did you see the story of the people who are basically in the same money strata as far as the Varsity Blues scandal goes as the Loughlins, or as whatever the family name is? That guy, the guy who was indicted for, trying to get his daughter into the college, he received 6 months in jail, and he got a whole bunch of other much more severe charges and punitive stuff levied against him. So they're saying if he's any indication, Lori Loughlin could be looking at some, a year plus, a couple of years.
Okay. We'll see. Val Kilmer appeared for the Glam Art Exhibition at his Hellmel Studios in L.A. over the weekend. The usually reclusive star has been out and about more as of late and is set to appear alongside Tom Cruise in Top Gun 2, a highly anticipated sequel due in theaters this summer. I'm looking forward to seeing what that's about.
I had hopes that they would take a more harder edge, than the original, maybe be a little bit more badass. Maybe not. The trailers indicate that.
Preston,
did you hear it? You did the Iceman.
I did the teeth clean. Iceman.
I don't like doing that. It hurts my teeth.
Yeah. That's what he should do in this movie. I don't like it. It hurts my teeth. Why do they call you Iceman? Because I need ice on my...
Steve, yeah. They should do it and he takes have his dentures fall out.
Right. Or press
it. Right when he does.
He takes him out and he marks the scene. Yeah. He takes him out and marks the scene.
Take
it's
two.
It's a slate. Iceman. He is 59 years old, recovering after a successful battle with throat cancer 2 years ago.
Everything's good?
Well, I don't know if everything's good, but he's recovering, so...
Did you see that they are making a... he died in MacGruber, spoiler alert, but they are making a MacGruber series. Did you see that?
I thought I saw some about that.
I bet you he comes back in that.
I would love for it. He was so good. You can't even say his name on the air because it's...
Well, I don't... Okay. See, here's the deal, Steve.
It's C-U-N-T-H.
Yeah, there is a place in media where it's K-U-N-T-Z.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
You saw it!
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So,
I can't even, if they advertised with the radio station, right? We'd be like, go to this place on Monroe Street Media.
Is it pronounced that way?
I don't know. It would have to be. Would you pronounce K-U-N-T-Z?
It's a long U.
Is it like Dean Koontz?
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
No, Dean Koontz is K-O-O-N-T-Z.
I know, but there are, other pronunciations.
Sure.
Yeah. I remember Jim Cook, who was the Sam Adams guy. I think he slightly changed the spelling of his name because it was it was James Cock is how it's pronounced, and he didn't want to have that name.
No, that's a smart move.
But that's how it was pronounced, and he told me that story personally. So
Taylor Swift's original name is Taylor Cock.
Yeah, I had no idea. Okay, we're moving on. A beautiful piece of pop culture history.
I don't even know if I can write that one down.
It's like a rooster. Come on, people.
I'll write it down.
Cheese and crackers, guys.
Tough cookies.
Tough cookies on you.
Tough mother effing cookies, guys.
Lick these.
A beautiful piece of pop culture history is headed for the auction block. The Victor Edelstein blue velvet gown that Princess Diana famously wore to White House state dinner in 1985 will be auctioned on December 9th. She famously danced with John Travolta to music.
I remember that.
From Saturday Night Fever at that event, and the moment went ultra viral for the 80s anyway.
Oh, I've got to have that.
You could possibly buy it.
They'll let it out.
Lucy Bishop of Carrie Taylor Auction said this is considered one of the most important iconic gowns ever worn by the princess.
Do you remember that legendary scene? Well, that,
I do.
Moment in history. She danced with John Travolta. She was the people's princess.
And she looked as that shy Diana. Yes. And she was smitten with Mr. Travolta.
Oh, absolutely.
You could tell in the video that she was just, it was super special for her. The photos of her being twirled around on the dance floor by handsome John Travolta at the White House caused a sensation at the time and remains so memorable today. So that dress is going to be auctioned off. A couple of downers here for you. Mike, the situation, Sorrentino's wife Lauren revealed that she suffered a miscarriage after getting pregnant the night that he was released from prison, by the way. She shared the sad news on Monday. Explaining at about 6.5, 7 weeks, I miscarried. The pair shared their first wedding anniversary on November 1st. And also, James Vanderbeek, who was, by the way, eliminated during season 28 semifinals of Dancing with the Stars last night, revealed the same heartbreaking news.
It was an emotionally wrought episode.
His wife, Kimberly, suffered a miscarriage over the weekend. He said in a video, his video package, you know, they run these little videos of them speaking. But he said, my wife Kimberly and I went through a every expecting parent's worst nightmare. We lost the baby of a little soul that we had expected to welcome into our family, took a shortcut to whatever lies beyond. He said, you never know why these things happen. And that's what I've been telling my kids. All you know is that it brings you closer together. It breaks you open. It opens up your heart. It deepens your appreciation. It makes you more human. Although he admitted that he didn't think he'd be dancing on Monday evening, he chose to compete for Kimberly, who pushed him to continue in the competition.
Wow. Did you see what happened? So when he was eliminated, the competing girl is a pop singer. I'm not familiar with her. She's one of the contestants.
Was it Allie Brooke?
That's it. So she was in tears and came over and said, can we give our spot to him?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, she tried
And Tom Bergeron was like saying, well, we can't do that. But everyone was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and
he said, I don't want your spot.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he got eliminated. He was really good. He's a good dancer, and he put on good shows. And
well, that was the conundrum because all of the judges were, believe I'm invested into the show.
I know. I love him,
Kate Flannery. She said it. It's a popularity contest.
By the way, this would have been their sixth child. Listen to the ages of these kids, too. 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9.
Whoa.
So every other year, they knock one out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Obviously, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
Terrible news.
Yeah.
All right, happier stuff. The three top money winners in Jeopardy history are going to vie for a share of $1.5 million next January. And the money's guaranteed. Like, they're going to walk out of there.
Sure.
Richer no matter what.
Oh, yeah. So, it's like a top-level boxing match. You participate because you're going to make money no matter what.
ABC and the quiz show's producer said Monday that Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and James Holzhauer will compete in primetime episodes on the network.
That's cool.
That's so – because Holzhauer just walked away with the most recent Tournament of Champions. So he got $250,000 for that.
The first contestant to win three matches will receive $1 million.
That's awesome.
So the handicapping has begun. My wife and I were discussing. So in that three, who takes it?
I think Jennings will. Just
really?
Because he didn't have as much money, but he won the most games. But then again, Holzhauer has that technique. Maybe Jennings will learn from that.
Maybe.
That.
James is so fast.
He's unbelievably fast.
I think Ken actually has a little bit more knowledge than James does. But James in the Tournament of Champions was so impressive. And then, and the woman that he beat at the end.
She was staggered.
She was really good.
Well, she's the one who took him out of his long run, and he took her out.
And he got the redemption. Who's this other guy? Who's Brad Rutter?
He's the top money winner of all time.
He's won
more money than those two guys.
Yeah. And he's got the least punchable face of all three of those guys, I think. James Holzhauer.
Least punchable face.
I cannot stand to look at that guy.
I get it.
My wife, everybody, we all thought the same thing. And now I love him. I love his quirkiness. He's a regular.
I liked him.
He's a regular family guy. It's the stories of his kids.
Why would you want to punch Ken Jennings in the face?
Oh, just look at his smarmy little smile. Never liked that guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I can say that because there's a ton of people right now going, shut up, Casey. I hate your voice. I get it, bro. I get it. I hate these guys. And they're probably nice guys.
I think we're in therapy.
Yeah, we are in therapy.
Music, please. Wow.
The James Holzhauer underbite is what really bothers me the most. He looks
I get it, bro. I get you want to punch me in the face, bro. But listen, man, it's a punchable face.
He looks like that Hanna-Barbera dog.
When I was growing up near Rutledge.
Not near.
In. In Rutledge.
Yeah.
Hanna-Barbera, excuse me?
Hanna-Barbera, man!
James Holzhauer looks like that
Muttley?
Cartoon.
Muttley.
Muttley! With the stupid underbite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I just can't stand
sometimes
to look at him.
Things set you off. You can't explain it. Sometimes it's a Jeopardy contestant.
Okay. I hope everybody listening has an underbite. Doesn't get punched in the face today. By the way, Rutter is the all-time money winner, $4.7 million, followed by Jennings with $3.4 million, and Holzhauer, $2.7 million. He actually won the least amount.
Wow. But he accrued it quicker than the other two.
Right. How long did it take Rutter to win all of that money?
Good question. I don't have the stats on that, and I've forgotten how many games Jennings won. He won a ridiculous amount.
Wasn't it in the 70s?
It was just a ton of shows that he was
in. Holzhauer had the largest single wins.
Yes.
He's like the top five.
Yeah. Per episode, yeah. Right? Yeah, he was way up there.
And Preston won 74 in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kenny.
That's unbelievable.
Kenny
won.
How many games you win, Kenny?
You're real smart there, Kenny.
I think you're pretty smart, don't you? Well, guess, you know what's really smart? Me punching you in the face.
Yeah, the most punchable face, Kenny.
That's right. Alex Trebek will host the contest, which will be titled Jeopardy, the Greatest of All Time.
I love this. I love that he's getting to do this now, especially as a diversion with what he's going through.
And it'll be January 7th, by the way. In a statement, Alex said that the three have proved they qualify as the greatest and now will compete to be the best of the best. By the way, how did Watson do? Remember when they had the supercomputer?
Watson won.
Did pretty good.
I think Watson won. But Watson has a massive repository. Right? Isn't that the case?
And it went up against Ken Jennings.
Yes.
Went up against Watson. I know that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway. Okay. Let me go to Alex. Hi, Alex. How you doing? What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. So, back in, 2016, when I checked into my first Marine Corps unit, a guy who's a couple years older than me walked right up to me and just said, you know what, man? You got a really punchable face. I think I really want to hit you in the face.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What a dick.
So, yeah.
Well, so flash forward about 4 months, we're at the Marine Corps ball, and he was pretty drunk, and I was pretty drunk, and I said, you know what, man? Get it over with. Go ahead. And so he just punched me right in the face.
Seriously? That's effed up.
Yeah, that's weird.
Was it a full-blown punch?
Yeah, he hit me pretty hard, but it wasn't that bad.
All right. And then what happened after that?
I told him he hit like a girl and we were friends.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We of the punchable faces. Wow. All right, one last story. Miramax is the Georgetown Project is welcoming Sam Worthington and David Hyde Pierce to its supernatural horror production, already starring Russell Crowe.
Mm.
Some pretty big names in this. Joshua John Miller and M.A. Fortin have signed on to write and direct the story, which follows troubled actor Anthony Miller, who is Russell Crowe, who begins to have a breakdown while filming a horror film. So don't know when that's coming around.
Did you ever see the movie? I think I recommended it to you. In the Mouth of Madness, about a Stephen King-type horror writer?
No.
It's a John Carpenter film.
Okay.
And you start to wonder, is the subject matter real or not? And people sort of become entranced and seduced into this fiction, this book.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very cool.
What has Sam Worthington been up to? Last time, is he going to be in these Avatar movies?
Yes, he's going to be back in the Avatar movies. He's in all of them.
Nice. All right, we're ready for clips. Let's get to them. The new comedy series Dickinson explores the rebellious family and life of Emily Dixon. Dixon. In this clip, Haley Steinfeld.
I like her.
I do too. Talks about the easy transition into her leading role. Here we go.
I love period pieces. I love watching them. I love acting in them. I kind of started with one, and I don't know. I've always felt like to be able to immerse yourself into a world, you know, when you're able to walk into something that feels authentic, it's just, it makes your job, my job, easier.
Yeah! I have a bit of a crush on her, but I want to say that I've seen some interviews or something with her. She's kind of stuck on herself.
Is she? Then I hate her.
Yeah, I didn't care for that. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. I'll tell you this, though. This does not seem to be, it's a period piece. It seems to have sort of a modern-day sensibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way that they speak, it's not olden time talk.
Right, yes. It's not oldie timey talky.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They talk like modern folk.
Interesting.
Like smart people like us.
You know, if you want to, speaking of interesting speech patterns, one of her first films was True Grit.
Yeah. She's great.
And an interesting thing about that movie is there are no contractions used in that.
Yep.
So instead of didn't or won't, it's did not or will not through the entire, and apparently that was accurate to
true
that
to the
time.
Like Deadwood has that.
And so it sounds weird because I did not say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say that because you think of, you know, the prairie folk would be ain't this and that and, morons. Yeah.
I won't not do that.
I won't not do that.
I won't not do that. Prithee, sir, won't that not?
How does will not become won't? I don't understand that. Yeah.
I won't even think about it.
How does an egg become a chicken?
Dickinson is now available to stream on Apple TV. Here's the next clip. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood gives a look into the true story of the friendship between Tom Junod and America's favorite neighbor. And here Tom Hanks reveals how playing Fred Rogers personally helped him.
When you talked to Fred, you felt as though you were the most important person in the world. And I would say if I got anything from Fred, I think I'm a pretty happy person when I wake up in the morning. But playing Fred made me a better listener.
You!
Aww. Can't you listen to Mr. Rogers?
You know what may be good, too, is Mark Summers with Shut the F Up. Can we play that clip again, please, Casey? All right, here we go.
When you talked to Fred, you felt as though you were the most important person in the world. And I would say if I got anything from Fred, I think I'm a pretty happy person when I wake up in the morning. But playing Fred made me a better listener.
Shut the F up!
is that pitched down a little bit?
What?
But Tom,
I don't think so. I think it's just
I put on my sweater.
Maybe Manthi could have played Mr. Rogers.
That would have been good. I haven't heard from Manthi in a while.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think I saw every Mr.
Rogers. Take off my sweater. It's a little hot. Well, the mailman's here. Why don't you just stick it in the slot?
Mr. McNeely?
He used to come to the Dilworth Town Inn when I worked there.
Mr. McFeely did?
Yeah.
Look at the trolleys coming out of my cooter.
Oh, my. What?
So did magical. You just...
Whoa.
It's weird. You've ruined a lot of childhood memories for
That's
me.
That's kind of my job, to destroy everything you held dear.
Did you say you think you saw Manthi the other day? Did I miss that?
I think you missed that.
I heard you say something.
Who is Manthi?
I don't know.
It exists?
I think I saw her.
She's hiding in the ball pit at the happy place.
I was interested to hear the story if it was the case.
Just circling back around to Jeopardy real quick. Last night on Jeopardy, they had a clue featuring A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and Tom Hanks, and none of the contestants could identify that it was Tom Hanks playing Fred Rogers.
That's what I said yesterday. It looks just like him.
It does, but still, it's Tom freaking Hanks, and
I'm telling you.
I was a little mad at the Jeopardy contestants for not being able to get that right.
Did you see that Access Hollywood had discovered, did you see that story, Preston? I think I sent it over to you. He is actually a six cousins removed from Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks is related to Mr. Rogers.
But there was I was just walking through the room and Jeopardy was on, and there was another one that I was like, I literally went, come on, guys.
Right?
It was really, really easy.
Did you want to punch anybody in the face?
No. Okay.
I think I want to punch you in the face.
But I wish I remembered what it was, but I was like, you guys didn't get that? Come on. All right, anyway. That's the entertainment report. By the way, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is in theaters this Friday. And there you go. So let's take a break. Let's come back in a moment. And don't forget, today is Tattoos Day. Text word tattoo to 39333. Philadelphia Eddies, ma'am. You may win a tattoo from them. They're at 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. You could get tattooed by the area's top artists like Troy Temple. You can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. We'll be back in a few.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you go. Your donation goes towards foods that Phil Abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Surprised to see on the text messages how many people did agree with Casey about punching certain people in the faces. By the way, somebody also pointed out a good band name, The Punchable Faces.
Punchable Faces.
I like that. I'm officially filing that over there next to Rat Van.
Rat Van.
Yes.
We have a whole bunch of good names.
I've never liked punching anybody in the face. Just so you know, I'm not a
you Falcon man. Punch Mother Teresa.
Oh, bitch had it coming. Yeah.
What's with Calcutta?
Holy
he did it.
I'm going to do a shout out. And well, first, you know what? First, let me do this before I do the shout out. We had mentioned, because I haven't done this at this particular time, but we have Camp Out for Hunger less than 2 weeks away. And we're planning some events and things that we want to do and have some fun with. And one of the things that we threw out there was a potential for the world's largest gender reveal. Now, the gender reveals you usually see involve just one couple revealing the sex of the baby.
Yeah.
What if we had multiple couples? Well, we could possibly have a world record on our hands.
And we're just going to declare that it is.
I agree.
I think that's the way
no matter what.
Right.
So out of the gate, we got a decent amount of response. And then Marissa's doing follow-ups to see who actually would be able to come and do it. See, a lot of people say, yeah, I'll do it. And then you say, okay, well, here's what's going there. No, no, maybe I won't do that.
May not fit their schedule.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so it's been less than we had, than we want.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw this out here again and mention that we are looking for couples who are expecting to participate in this if we can get enough people involved to come down to the Camp Out for Hunger and be a part of the world's largest gender reveal. And we will not only, this is an opportunity for your family and friends to find out about it, but everybody to find out about it who listens to the Preston and Steve show in the Delaware Valley. Here we do have the number one radio show, so, you know, it's a good amount of people.
Yeah.
So we can reveal that information live on the air, and we'd like to do it in a fantastical fashion, which we're still working on.
We have a whole bunch of stuff that is really based upon the amount of response we get to this. So yeah, we're ready to roll.
So please get in touch. There's a link on PrestonandSteve.com. If you know someone who's expecting and doesn't know. Now, there also might not be that many pregnant people right now. I don't know.
It's quite possible.
It's possible.
We may need to turn this into a conceiving contest, right?
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
Didn't even think of that.
Oh, my God.
300 cots.
Most babies conceived in one sitting.
I mean, yeah, come on,
if
man.
If you will. That's pretty
right,
Keith, juicy.
That's our B plan.
All right. Anyway, now the other thing we need are fire trucks.
So, fire trucks?
Oh, we've got this all planned
listen,
out.
Listen, this does make sense if you were to see it from our side of the window.
No.
To you, it might seem a little bizarre, but babies, fire trucks, it does work
out.
We need fire trucks for this. We need open-minded fire departments who would be willing to help us out with this.
So. We also need access to thermite.
We do?
Explosive devices.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, we need fire. Yes.
No, but we need some fire companies that are okay with us doing some stuff. Anyway, because I don't want to reveal what this is.
No.
I want to eventually do it, surprise people in the air of how we're going to be doing it. But anyhow, we need agreeable fire companies, and we've used some fire companies in the past, but it involves your equipment, and we know how important that is to you, and we don't want to do anything to damage your equipment. But anyhow, we'd like you to get in touch. Now, how should they do it? Follow up on the same thing, Marissa, the gender reveal link on PrestonandSteve.com? Okay.
I can handle the fire truck stuff. So if it's a fire company, please contact
me. Fire truck!
Or Marissa. But Yeah.
So it's Nick at WMMR.com and Marissa at WMMR.com.
With one S.
Right.
Marissa.
And we're looking for the fire trucks, and we're looking for people who are expecting, who might want to do their gender reveal at this event.
But please spread the word for us, if you would, about the pregnant couples. And or if you're a single pair, whatever it is. Anybody who wants to reveal the gender of a child, let us know, because we'd like you to be a part of it.
You'll get a keepsake of some sort.
You'll get a fire truck.
Yeah, listen, even if you've already told a few people what the gender is, maybe you haven't told everybody, and we can do that too, you know what I mean? So you can be a part of it. All right?
Everything's fluid. We're open. As long as we get fire trucks and pregnant people, we're good.
PrestonandSteve.com. So the link is right there. All right, real quick shout out. Preston, want to send a shout out to Dana and Donnie at Anaono. After hearing them on your program, I reached out to them, and they invited me and my biomedical student, who is working on designing a bra for a single mastectomy patient, to visit their design studio. Dana met with us and answered my student's questions for an hour. It was an awesome experience, and I'm inspired by the whole Anaono team. Thanks to PNS for getting the word out. You guys rock. Wendy from CCST Biomedical Science Program. So thank you. Here's a shout out for Anaono. They make specifically bras for women who have gone through single or double mastectomy or any kind of breast issues that they have, especially when it involves cancer. So that
wonderful company.
Very cool. And then this is a butt plug.
Oh.
This is
right at the old bunghole.
this is a charity plug. And this is from George Heath. He said, hey, I have a fundraiser, and I thought this was cool, for Troop 229G. Now, the G suffix attached to a Boy Scout troop number indicates that these scouts are all girls. And currently, this is the only girl troop in the General Nash District. And I want to make sure that they have every opportunity for success. And I'd like your help to that end. I'm including a flyer for this event that they have coming up. And so this is going to be on Thursday, the 21st. So this Thursday from 4 to 9 p.m., they will be at the Montgomeryville, Texas Roadhouse. Love that place. And 15% of the total food purchase will go to Boy Scouts of America Troop 229G. And but you have to have this flyer. So I sent this link to Nick.
Yeah, and the flyer is posted on the community page along with the information about the event itself. And so you have to have that if you're going to go to this event.
So go to our community page, and you can print that up, or you can electronically use it and take it with you.
Any chance they might see the famous Preston Elliott there?
I don't know. It depends. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I'll
see what's going on Thursday night. Maybe we'll go there for dinner. That would be cool. But I love this because these are scouts. These are girls that want to do like camping and outdoor things.
Right.
That maybe the Girl Scout troops don't do.
Do the Girl Scouts not do camping? I didn't know that.
Not as much. Yeah. It's a little part of it.
Yeah.
But they want more of this type of adventure, and I think it's really cool that they have the opportunity to do that.
Like cat. So,
yeah. Right? Yes. All over.
Yeah.
Miss Outdoorsy.
We often call Kathy Miss Eddie Bauer.
God, when it's hunting season.
Yeah.
You know
deer
me.
Season, she's all over.
Kathy's the Bear Grylls of the Preston and Steve Show.
That's right.
So Troop 229G, it's Thursday night, and this will be at the Texas Roadhouse in Montgomeryville. And you can, like Nick said, go to the community page of PrestonandSteve.com, print up the flyer, and that's the butt plug for you. Okay, so what else?
Stuff to do.
Yeah. Saw this article. Very, very interesting. It is about the most sinful cities in America.
The most sinful cities where one can experience the most sin.
The most sin.
All right. So
I'm going to give you the parameters because it's pretty thorough. It's not just hey, where do you party the most? So in order to identify the darkest corners of America, Wallet Hub compared more than 180 U.S. cities across 39 key indicators of evil deeds. The data set ranges from violent crimes per capita to excessive drinking to adult entertainment establishments per capita. And in order to determine these, there were 7 key dimensions. Okay, so 1, anger and hatred. 2, jealousy. 3, excesses and vices.
Yeah.
4, greed. 5, lust. 6, vanity, and 7, laziness.
And at number 7, butt stuff.
So they examined those dimensions using 39 relevant metrics. Each metric was graded on a 100-point scale with a score of 100 representing the highest level of sinfulness.
Okay, so those are the complete parameters there?
And finally, they calculated each city's weighted average across all metrics to determine its overall score or Wallet Hub's vice index and used the resulting scores to rank order of the city. So they did their homework.
So when you think of the classic, the phrase Sin City, what do you think of?
Las Vegas.
That's what I think of.
And that's right. Number one.
Okay. No, really?
It is.
Well, there you go.
But some of the
Las Vegas does not have an exceptionally high crime rate, does it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine it does.
I'm sure it does, yeah. But I mean, that's where Tupac was murdered, right?
Yeah, I don't know nationally how it ranks up there, but I got to imagine it's,
all right.
It's okay.
All right, Las Vegas, Sin City.
But there are several parameters. It's not just crime.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's excesses.
Proximity to Wayne Newton.
Of course. Well, yeah. Then that's number one. Anger and hatred, greed, lust, vanity,
okay,
laziness,
yes,
all that
you're
stuff.
Right.
So
okay, then
it's not just crime.
All right.
So wait, are you taking, is this a per capita thing or is this, you know?
He said the parameters are
I don't know. It's just I read out that full list of
I know, but there was a lot of stuff on that list. So I just wasn't sure.
They weighted it. They did all kinds of stuff to make sure that yes, indeed it does.
Okay.
They stroked it.
But Casey, they went with the largest
right.
metropolitan yeah. areas. So okay. if there were they essentially took the two largest metropolitan areas per state. Okay. And looked at those.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess so.
All right.
Is Nashville on there?
Nashville. That's a good question. Hang on. Let me flip through these. I only printed up the top 20.
Okay.
There were over 100 of them. And no, I don't see Nashville okay. in the top 20. No.
There are two cities that come to mind. Vegas is the first. New Orleans is the second.
Okay. New Orleans. We'll bounce around. Bill likes it that way. let's see. New Orleans is number 16.
Number wow. 16. I would have thought
on the list.
Closer to number one.
Really yeah. surprising. This speaks to me because I was raised in this city. Number three on the list is St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Wow. Louis, number three?
Huh. Yeah.
I've always heard that St. Louis has the second biggest Mardi Gras parade behind yes. New Orleans. And yes. so maybe that lends itself to this, but then
maybe
New Orleans
part of
is
it.
Lower down. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a French area called Soulard, the Soulard District, and they have a big, big Mardi Gras celebration there.
We know crime is heavy duty. There is gambling, yes?
Yes, there is yes. gambling, yep.
All right, so a couple of the items are ticked off.
Anybody else want to guess? Take a stab at cities. It might be in the top 20.
Chicago.
Chicago's number 7.
All right,
on the list.
Oh.
So the larger metropolitan areas that lend themselves to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is number 2.
Okay.
As far as sin,
because it's also a huge. I think population. It's the most
yeah.
populated city in the country. Yes.
Yeah. I think New York.
New York's first, yeah. and then
yeah.
then LA.
Even with the okay, yeah, you're probably right. Yep.
See, when, and I saw your list, Preston. But when I heard like strip clubs as part of the part of those parameters, I immediately thought of Atlanta because I just I've always heard that about Atlanta is that it's the land of like
Strip-a-palooza?
Yeah, Strip-a-palooza.
It is number 5 on the
list. Wow, we're knocking them off.
I think Atlanta, yeah, we in my band we do Girls, Girls, Girls. Atlanta is mentioned in that song.
If we were doing the feud, we'd be winning right now.
Yes. Does anybody want to guess as to why I brought this up in the first place?
I'm guessing we're on the list.
Is Philly on there?
Philly's number 6.
Oh, my God.
All right.
We're a top tenner.
How the hell did that happen?
In cities, I should say.
You're in Philadelphia now.
Yeah, they've got these rankings, and unfortunately, the article, the information that I printed up doesn't show. It's got these rows, these
yeah.
columns. And I don't have what those columns represent,
unfortunately. Well, the second column in, what does it give us?
The second column in, it gives us an 8.
Of course.
Yes.
I was figuring for Philadelphia.
Here we go.
Okay. Yeah.
So it gives us an 8 in anger and hatred. But that's out of 100. So we're not that angry.
No, I don't think we're an overly angry city. In fact, my wife yesterday was just commenting upon, like, going out and shopping and how many people, like, engaged her in pleasant conversation.
I am pleasantly surprised when I bring people into the city of Philadelphia and we walk around and we do touristy things,
yeah.
and the people that we run into who are locals are really nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome because some people I've been with are like, wow, that was like, weren't expecting that. But then again, sometimes you can go into shop or a convenience store and they don't want any time at all.
Yeah.
You know, they don't bother me. But people just walking about and doing their business, sometimes they want to help out. They're ask you how you doing, you know, stuff like that. All right, so under excesses or jealousy, though, we rank way up there at 76 out of 100.
What are we jealous of mostly, does it say, or just in general?
Probably New York.
Well, yeah, I think and Washington.
We have a little bit of an inferiority complex, I
even
think.
Even though we hate
penis size?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the beautiful. See?
Excesses and vices, we rank at 20. Mm. 20 out of 100. Greed is 50.
Oh, so we're about halfway greedy.
Can you guys scroll over? By the way, the vice index overall is 56.2%. So then we have...
Is that based on strip clubs?
Lust is 6.
So sex.
That's really low. We're not really lusty.
I think we are more lusty than this list indicates.
Low? Is that low or high?
That's really low.
It's out of 100.
It's out of 100.
I'm wondering if it's the top rank or the lowest rank.
So is it 6?
I would imagine that's
a good question.
The higher the number,
no,
the
LA's number 1 on the lust rank, which bumps it up to number 2 overall on the list. I think the lower the number. I think this is like golf.
Then I'm way off.
We are a mess.
Yeah, we are a mess.
We are a freaking mess. Take it back from the beginning then.
Yeah, go back to the beginning. Sorry, scroll over the other way.
We are a mess.
All right, so we're high on anger and hatred.
Yeah. A ton of hatred. The hell?
Everything I just said.
F this list!
It's a bunch of crap. All right, Marissa found me the printed version of it.
All right, so then Nick's... Well, I think Nick is, I believe, right, because look at everything. All the cities that are ranked the highest have the lower scores.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, in fact, L.A. is number 1 in lust, number 1 in vanity. Well, there you go, vanity, right?
That makes sense.
All right, so Philly.
Where are we on vanity?
We're very high. Hold on, we're high in anger.
We have Kathy. It's got to be up the charts.
At 8. We're very low in jealousy. So it is the kind of, screw you, we like what we got, and, you know, we don't care.
We were making a case for the other one, though,
I know,
so easily.
We were really...
It seems so easy, of course.
Jesus. All right, excess and vices, we're at 20, so we have a decent amount. Greed, we're in the middle, 50. So lust, very high.
There we go. Texas City, I know.
We're the 6th lustiest city.
Absolutely.
Vanity, 23.
Surprised it's that high.
Yeah, right?
Because Philly does not seem, of all of the things we have going for us or against us, it does not seem like the most vain city out there.
Right.
How do I look today?
Right?
In the top quarter, I guess.
I think I look great. Look at me. I got 3 testicles.
I had 3 testicles.
Although he does have fake teeth. So he's vain.
Try my jam. Look at this, my grill.
He needs his
jam.
He
had no choice. It was either fake teeth or no teeth.
You know what? I'm having all my teeth pulled out. Just on a whim.
I don't think that's vain. I think he just wants to chew food.
That's vain.
Listen, I think I would look better with no teeth in my head. Pull them out.
And then the last category was laziness, where we're kind of in the middle at 55. So
we started. We were so happy.
I know.
And then we turned to crap.
Wrong. All wrong about it. Wow. But so the top 10 are as follows: Vegas, then LA, St. Louis, Houston is number 4. Number 5 is Atlanta. We are at 6th. Then you have Chicago at 7. New York is 8th. This is the most sinful cities in America. 9 is Miami. I could see that. Right?
You know, Miami's very sexual.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, let's take a look at that. Lusty.
You're all in bathing suits.
Miami's 21. We were at 6.
A lot of cocaine.
So we're that cocaine.
The cocaine.
Jealousy is 7. And surprisingly, Denver is way up here at number 10. I think that's kind of surprising. Anyway.
Denver seems a lot more mellow.
Yeah.
Everyone's too stoned to have these.
Right.
Yeah, but there are so many transplants there. So, you know, a lot of vacationers, a lot of people visiting.
Transplants can F everything up.
You know, in speaking of that, not to derail or sidetrack, but there's a lot of resentment towards that in Colorado right now because a lot of people from Texas have moved there. And believe it or not, a lot of people from California have moved to Colorado and they don't like it.
Yep. A lot of people from California moved to Texas, too, and they're throwing off everything. Yeah.
Wait. Who doesn't like it?
Coloradans are tired of people moving there from California and from Texas in particular.
Really?
Yeah. They just and it's because the unemployment is way, way low. Rent is way, way high. But people still want to live in Colorado. And there's resentment against all the people who want to come in.
Huh. Specifically, though, from California and Texas? Why? Do you know why they don't like them?
It's anecdotal, so I was just talking to people last time I was out there, but they just feel like...
The breast implants and fake teeth?
Mostly, yeah. Probably the cowboy hats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. I would not... Where's Dallas on that list?
It was a long list, Steve, so I didn't...
I'm a little pissed off.
Let's see here. I'd have to go through this. So Orlando is 11. North Las Vegas is 12. I didn't even know there was...
So there's one. Vegas, right.
Dallas
and North
is 13th, Preston.
Yeah, Dallas is 13, yeah.
All right.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana is 14th. Washington, D.C., 15th. New Orleans, 16th. San Francisco, 17th.
So Baton Rouge ahead of New Orleans.
Yeah. Columbia, South Carolina, 18th.
Didn't you live there for a little bit, too?
No, not Columbia. Oh. I lived in more towards the middle of the state. Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow. But they say here you can get your fix on Route 66.
19. And then Detroit is number 20.
Huh.
Sinful cities, mind.
Sinful.
All right, let's go to something that's the antithesis of that.
That's the opposite of sin?
Well, kind of, yes, because there was a playlist of the worst songs to have sex to that went viral yesterday.
So if you want to stop doing that filthy sexual act, you put these on.
Yes, if you want to stop that sinful copulation. So this was originally created back in 2018, but it's kind of taken on a life of its own. New songs have been added to it here and there, according to Mashable, who posted this, which says it now runs to 6 hours and 9 minutes long. People just keep adding lists.
The ultimate anti-sex mixtape.
Yeah, exactly.
Are these like, these are... All right, never mind. Just go through your list.
So some of them are novelty. I know what you're going to ask, yeah. Case, but like here's one, Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
Is that it?
I don't know. Angel. Any Sarah McLachlan song would be probably tough to have sex to.
Because every time you hear any Sarah McLachlan, you think of a dog out in the snow.
Yeah.
I think it's those animal cruelty commercials.
Yep. Right. I think of death.
I will remember you.
Somewhere a chihuahua has death? Whooping cough.
That song? Yeah. I will remember you? Maybe.
Or am I just associating it? Because of the line. I don't know. But anyway, I think of death, so I would agree with that.
Okay. I've never stopped to listen to the full lyrics of I Will Remember You, but it sounds like it would be. God Bless the USA from Lee Greenwood. Kill the moment.
Yes.
Unless you're a true American.
Yeah, unless you're, unless it's, you're bleeding red, white, and blue America. It might actually give you a wood.
I'm as patriotic as they get. However, that's a boner killer.
Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood is another one.
If you know, you like Carrie Underwood a lot. I do.
What's that one where she talks about taking a bat to the car?
Oh, yeah.
I like it, that song.
Before he cheats, you know.
Yeah, before he cheats.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Took a Louisville slugger to both headlights. My wife sings that at the top of her lungs when that one comes on.
Two-fisted bat swinging, boot wearing, cow poking.
Shut up!
Cotton Eye Joe is on the list. Yes. He didn't begin with Cotton Eye Joe.
I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Kids love that.
Oh my God.
Excuse me while I put on some music. I'll pour some sherry and I'll put on some Cotton Eye Joe.
Some Thunderbird?
Yeah, and some Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. Do we have that? I would love
The art of seduction is a specific thing.
I would love to hear
James
Mason.
First you pour some Thunderbird and then you put on Cotton Eye Joe.
No, we don't have it.
Oh
man.
Kids love that. Any party, you know, like grade school party or middle school, if that comes on, the kids go crazy.
Really?
For it. Yep. Huh. They still do.
I think we had a choreographed dance in high school to that. Yeah. Or middle school, maybe.
Yeah. It's a solo version of it?
No, there is. And they still know it today.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids these days.
The kids these days.
Cotton Eye Joe. With their Cotton Eye Joes and their things they don't know.
Reading Rainbow theme song.
Take a look.
Yep. Come on, man.
It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow.
And then there's the Macarena. Would kill it for you. I don't know. It's got a nice rhythm to it. It's easy. It's not too fast.
Yeah.
What was that, Kathy?
I don't know.
I don't know about that. the Law and Order theme song.
Stop it! Come on!
Wait, these aren't... these are not songs.
These are not songs.
I don't care. I like just... that. I like...
Wait, Case.
Oh, my God.
No, that's the the sounder. But it's... in it's a... dun, 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 dun.
But it has also... like a yeah. Kenny G kind of, right? I do like that. I do like the theme.
There it is.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Let's get it on.
It's a whole man theme.
It's going to make you feel so good.
Oh, God.
Law. Order. Law. Order.
Oh, my God.
I told you that? One day I was watching. What is that? Is that a clarinet?
Clarinet. Okay.
So I was watching. I was building something in the basement, and I had the TV on, and I was watching. One episode began, and it was a marathon. And 12 episodes later, the ending of that episode was the exact ending of the first episode I had watched. So they all just blend together into one large Law and Order motion picture.
You saw that, right, Nick?
That's exactly what I'm looking at.
A few texts have come in that claim the song Cotton Eye Joe is about STDs.
No way.
Weigh it on me.
It's an old, old, old song, so I don't think that's true. I think that that's a...
Could it be, though? They had STDs. STDs were invented...
Yeah, I know, but...
Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
So I guess Cotton Eye Joe would be like herpes or something like that. I would have been married if my penis hadn't broken out into sores.
Right. Sores all over my penis now. Sores all over that penis now.
Long time ago, where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Come on, everybody. Everybody, Milky Discharge.
I wish I still knew the dance.
Hang on a second.
Painful urination. Come on. Hey-ho.
This is from Wikipedia. A list of the possible meanings of the term Cotton Eye Joe that have been proposed includes to be drunk on moonshine or to have been blinded by drinking wood alcohol.
Jesus.
Turning the eyes milky white. It says here, a black person with very light blue eyes is also what Cotton Eye Joe can mean. Someone whose eyes were milky white from bacterial infections of trachoma or syphilis, cataracts or glaucoma, or the contrast of dark skin tone around white eyeballs in African-American people.
So what? It could have been Syphilis Joe then.
Huh.
It was Syphilis Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. Let's see here. There's a lot of information here. The song has become a staple, played at many professional and college baseball games during the seventh inning stretch. So on and so forth. Nick, go up back up to the lyrics, if you would, please, because it has the full song here. You just hear a little bit.
All right, so maybe there's another verse that speaks specifically of
Cotton Eye Joe.
Painful urination.
What did make you sarve me so? I'm reading this verbatim.
All right.
Furter take my gal away from me.
Oh, my God. Furter take my gal away from me.
Bear her plum ter Tennessee. This is literally how this is written. If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married long ergo.
Okay, so this that could be a social disease. It also could be the blindness caused by drinking.
It's about a person. It says his eyes was crossed and his nose was flat and his teeth was out, but what you've dat?
What up with that?
What of dat? For he was tall and he was slim. And so my gal, she follered him. If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. No gal so handsome could be found, not in all this country round. With her kinky head and her eyes so bright, with her lips so red and her teeth so white.
Teeth.
If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe. This is how this stuff is spelled. I'd been married long, long ago.
So did they give an explanation?
And I love that gal with all my heart. No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Did they give an explanation is there a definitive explanation of the song?
Not really. There's a lot of different interpretations of
the
song.
But Paul McCartney wrote it.
Hang on, Nick. Scroll up that first one I was reading. When did that hail from?
That was in mid-1800s, 1850. Yeah, 1850. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The lady that wrote it was born in 1850. 1882.
Okay. All right. And
the song is Cotton Eye Joe.
By 1884, the same year Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was published, the fiddle-based song was referred to as an old familiar air. In 1925, another version was recorded by folklorist Dorothy Scarborough and published.
Huh.
And it's got other lyrics. Okay. I don't know.
So the door is still open for some sort of syphilis element to it, but it sounds more like...
I think originally...
The alcoholism or...
Yeah. Or just a guy who they called...
Shingles.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
Shingles. An early version of...
some psoriasis?
Yeah, I don't know. So, interesting. But Cotton Eye Joe is on the list for songs that might kill the moment if you were in the middle of the throes of passion.
It's a horrible song. It really... Lyrically, it's just...
It's fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, anyway. We got to take a break, dear friends.
Oh, we didn't get to everything. Hardly any of the list.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is this the line dance, Kathy? Man. That's it. We're looking at a video of the Cotton Eye Joe dance. Very, very simple line dance. Yeah. I remember that. And then you spin around, and it's tap, and then your leg comes across the front, then around the back, and then a sidestep. To the rear, and then you spin. It's like six moves or something like that. So
easy line dance.
All right.
Look at the one girl in the middle still can't get it.
So here's what I'd like to do as we take a break. Give away some screening passes to this movie that we're going to be showing. And it will be, when is this? Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Knives Out is the film at the Ritz East. It is at 7:30. You need to be there by 7 o'clock. Let's take 9 callers at 215-263-WMMR. And we will give you tickets to that movie. I didn't do 10. I did 9.
No, of course. 10's insulting. Makes it sound desperate.
215-263-WMMR. Speaking of Bill Weston, I have something concerning him that we'll mention when we return, as well as the Bizarre File. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
A dinosaur pile up. Godsmack. Under your scars, I pray. You're like a shooting star in the rain. The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Somebody says at the Camp Out for Hunger, we could try for a world record of the biggest Cotton Eye Joe line dancing.
I love it.
Maybe we could do that.
Any type of dancing, I'm in.
Trying to break some kind of world record. What we want to do is do the world's largest gender reveal. We've mentioned this a couple of times, and we got a nice response, but then the follow-up of, hey, can you actually make it down to the Camp Out for Hunger is a little less than we want.
How about the largest pregnant line dance ever.
Oh, my God.
To Cotton Eye Joe.
That's even better.
Right.
The combine more specific we you can don't, get, you don't the have, better.
Yeah, you're just pregnant. You've already revealed. Yeah. We'll just get the largest pregnant Cotton Eye Joe line dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm open to that, too.
Or the most people with syphilis dancing to Cotton Eye Joe. We'll work it.
What that's about.
Listen, we actually have a wonderful scenario going on with the camp out. There's a lot of stuff, and we're trying to fit into different spaces because it's just jammed with stuff, so that's good.
If you are expecting or you know someone who is expecting, have them get in touch with us. We're trying to do the largest gender. It says be a part of Philadelphia's largest gender reveal. No, I want that to be the world's largest gender reveal.
The world.
Yes, and you can contact us. There's a link at PrestonandSteve.com, so maybe we'll change that to world's largest. And we want to hear from you, and we want to see if we can make this thing happen. So,
by the way, we're not going to certify it's the world's largest. No. We're just going to say it is.
To say that it is. But we will reveal to not only your friends and family, but to everyone listening of the sex of the baby, and it'll be a joyous occasion, and everybody will be happy. But if we don't get enough people to participate, then we won't do it. But we're just we're putting the feelers out right now. We're less than 2 weeks away from the Camp Out for Hunger. So please get in touch with us and let us know. Oh, and we need fire trucks, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And 10,000 marbles, please.
Somebody who is. We need fire trucks
that are willing to do this.
What we want to do. I don't want to tip our hand right now, but if you're open to using your equipment, we'll
email me.
We'll let you email Nick at WMMR.com.
Please. Here are the rules if you are a fire truck owner. Shut up and do what we ask you to do.
There you go.
If you have strict rules, we've already had a number of people say no.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So we don't need those people. We need the people who are willing to do whatever we ask them to do.
New Daily Rush video. It's called John O'Hurley as Bill Weston. The description is the Bill Weston story, Soup, There It Is. And you can watch that now at PrestonandSteve.com. And apparently there's a note handwritten here by Nick Murphy at the bottom. It says, go to the website to see a bonus video.
Bonus video.
As well. So the bonus video is Bill meets John. The Westons meet. And I can't wait to see this.
You know, Tom Hanks never got to meet Fred Rogers.
Right.
But John O'Hurley did get to meet Bill Weston.
Yes. And apparently it was a pretty special moment. So watch that now. It's sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. So go to PrestonSteve.com to check that out. All right, let's do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Patient First, another Patient First difference urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 19 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. Learn more at patientfirst.com. A bagel shop is going to be forced to close its doors after inspectors found someone living in the attic. Bob Bringer has owned Cascade Bagel and Deli for 16 years. He said that his bagels are special and his customers agree. But the business is the sole surviving shop at a boarded up strip mall. In September, an Oregon-based company bought the property. Bringer just found out that he's being kicked out at the end of the month, and he believes it stems from the people that they found in the attic.
So he was unaware there were people living up in the attic?
According to him, inspectors found three people and a pit bull above the bagel shop.
Hi.
City workers believe the squatters had been up there for a while, judging by all the stuff they found.
Bagel squatters.
And Brenda Harding, a bagel shop employee, said, we had no idea that there was a whole home up there in the attic.
Wow.
The city said the strip mall is a public safety risk. Officials said they hope the new owner will restore the building or tear it down and rebuild.
There have been stories of people who find out there are squatters living in attics or garages or stuff like that. It's got to be pretty wild.
And a lot of times you can't do anything about it.
No.
Which I don't...
You have to go through the legal process of getting them out of there.
I don't understand that. The bagel shop closes this week, by the way. So I don't know what they're going to do with the family and pit bull living upstairs. you guys remember Big Mouth Billy Bass?
Yes.
The singing fish? The Bar in Chicago, and I have to see this in person, now has more than 70 of them hanging on the wall singing popular songs in unison.
Oh, that's awesome.
They rigged them up to sing in unison. Ashley Albert, a co-owner of the Royal Palms Shuffleboard Club, said coming up with the idea and finding the fish was one thing. Choreographing the fish, that was another. Albert brought in Adam Lassie, a partner of design group called Studio Quasi in New York City, to make it all happen. Lassie said, we created custom hardware and software.
You would need that.
And editing software to make this all happen because this thing doesn't exactly exist. with Lassie's help, the fish now sing three songs together. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads, and Choices by E40. She said, I thought it was going to be ridiculous, and I don't think I knew just how ridiculous it was going to be, but I can already see that people are delighted by it, and I'm just so excited.
I've got to see that.
I do, yeah. Too. I absolutely need to see that. I miss our old Billy Bass.
It was great.
We had that, the Big Mouth Billy Bass, back at Y100. I just looked them up. You can still order them.
One of the great novelties of all time, right?
I think I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
Yep. A woman is in custody and being treated for minor injuries after police said that she crashed into a power pole and then fled the scene. The crash occurred just before 1 a.m. on Friday. Now, there's more to this. The pickup smashed into the pole, snapping it right at its base. That caused a power outage for dozens of homes in the area. Meanwhile, the driver immediately ran from the scene.
Did she have superpowers now?
Police began searching for her. The canines lost the scent, but not long afterward, a neighbor called police directing them to a backyard. The woman had apparently climbed up a tree to hide.
Oh, my God.
Officers arrested her, and then they took her to a local hospital where she's being treated for non-life-threatening injuries.
How high up was she?
I don't know, but she scampered up in a tree, and she was hiding there, and now she's facing multiple charges after the incident.
Can you come down now? Mm-hmm.
Police in Bozeman are looking for a fire hydrant thief. Somebody hit a fire hydrant with their car, broke it off, and then took it and left with it.
That's kind of cool.
Police deal with a lot of hit and runs, but in this case, an entire fire hydrant is missing. The department of the Detective Klum said, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
They obviously threw it in their vehicle. For Klum, it's an unusual situation.
Detective Klum.
The fire hydrants are on the sidewalk, so that means that the vehicle was on the sidewalk at some point.
So was this fire hydrant shut off, or did it start...
I don't know. They didn't indicate.
Spraying water.
A car struck it and snapped it off. In a Facebook post, police point out while the fire hydrant is gone, something else was left behind. They said they were nice enough to leave us their bumper. A red bumper, which it turns out belongs to a 2011 or 2012 Dodge Nitro. That's not the only clue. Most every vehicle part somewhere has a number stamped into it, Klum said. But we are able to get the replacement part of the bumper itself and the light that came out of it. Klum said that this could end an arrest for theft.
When you were a kid, you would steal occasionally, like street, those little hazard lights that they put on, you know, roads and stuff like that and stuff. A fire hydrant I never even thought of.
Be pretty cool, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah. Just because you hide drugs in the deep woods doesn't mean they can't be found. Police in Tuscany, Italy learned that drug dealers there were upset after they buried cocaine in the forest, but then wild boars dug it up and scattered it around the woods, maybe even snorted some of it.
What, like when they go for truffles and stuff like that?
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah.
The boars are said to have ruined about $21,000 worth of the drug.
Wow.
Three people were arrested in connection to the drugs. Wild boars are known to cause damage to farmland as well as driving accidents in Italy. But this time around, they were digging up cocaine. And that is what I have in the bizarre file at this point in time. All right, so am I mentioning this?
Yeah.
Okay. So this just in.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yes. Thursday is the Great American Smokeout.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our buddy Dr. Rosenberg, Dr. Rosenpenis, as we affectionately call him, who will be here Thursday at 7 a.m. and will hypnotize a group to help you quit smoking. And we've had tremendous success with this over the
years. We have.
Mm-hmm. So if you are interested, I'll do some giveaways now and some a little bit later on. But let's say if we can get 8 people who are available who are smokers to come and join us Thursday at 7 a.m. You'll need to be here a little before that, and we'll get you started. And Dr. Rosenberg will put you into a hypnotic state and give you positive suggestions or negative, however you want to view this, to get you off of cigarettes.
Yeah, and as you said, we've had a great deal of success with this, and it's a good shot for you if you're really concerned about it.
And this is from our friends at beatcancer.org, providing research-based education on how to prevent, cope with, and beat cancer through diet, lifestyle, and other immune-boosting approaches. But we can try this, and why not?
Yeah.
Why not at least give it a try, right? If it doesn't work, at least you gave it a shot.
We've had, and we are not kidding, we've had the scenario many times where people have come in and have done this and walked out and have not smoked again.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
Yep, absolutely. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if we can get you on board and make it here. All right. So this is
Thursday.
This is just for you. Yeah. So if you're calling for yourself, not anybody else. That is Thursday at 7 a.m. You need to be here a little bit before then.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you don't stray too far.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now.
back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I just had an idea at the Camp Out for Hunger. We want to do the world's largest gender reveal party. We could also, instead, like that song 16, we could do the first ever race reveal parties.
There we go.
The unfaithful couples.
Right.
How about that?
Right. No? Why not?
That's a bad idea.
That's a bad idea?
Bad idea.
Okay. I don't even know if that's possible.
Honestly, it's safe territory when you play around with race.
It is,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, it always is. Yeah, yeah. Are we not learning anything from the current climate?
Oh, man. Let's see. Primo's Hoagies here. We'll do some more giveaways. Well, they're not really here, but they will be here.
They're here in spirit. Guys.
They're here in spirit, and they gave us gift cards to give away, so we'll do that in a little while. They're going to bring in an assortment of hoagie trays today made with only the highest quality Thumans.
We just know it.
Meats and cheeses, sliced fresh to order, and served on Primo's award-winning seeded rolls. Baked fresh in-store every few hours, so we'll do some more giveaways before the show is up. And we have movie screenings. We've got the Great American Smokeout. A lot of stuff to be had. This morning, you know what? I legitimately noticed some things yesterday, and I would like to share these things that I noticed with you.
The noticers notice things legitimately.
Yeah.
And now he'll impart them to you.
Sometimes.
So you don't have to notice things.
When they're not legitimately noticed, they're the junk drawer, but I noticed these.
But you noticed these things.
Yeah.
He noticed that they weren't appropriate for the junk drawer.
I noticed that Five Below made a big change yesterday. Did you guys see
that? I saw this.
No,
what
doesn't happened? Make sense.
Its price point is going up after the first time in 17 years.
Oh,
no longer will the store, which is a bargain hunter's dream, only sell items priced at $5 and under. The store will be raising prices on certain items, including tech products and certain toys and games.
But they have to change their name now. You can't be Five Below.
They're not going to change
their
name.
I know, but how dumb.
So the bulk of the stuff they still say will be Five Below, but there will be some things that retail for $5,000.
Well, here's how they're getting that, Kathy. They're going to have an area called the 10 Below Gift Shop.
Oh.
Inside.
Okay.
Will there be like a bouncer there or like Studio 54 where you, I need to get in? No, I don't
you
think
have sure
so.
Your credit card?
Yes, yeah. Let's
you sure, are you sure you have $10?
Are you a platinum member?
For the toys and games priced up to $10, they will have that separate area of the store.
All right, kids.
Oh, I
love...
see. You want access to the $10 shop.
The kids love the Five Below. I think they like it more than the or at least my kids like it more than the dollar store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you like votive candles. The Five Below is a better choice.
Dollar store is a great place to go to for cards, like birthday cards and all that sort of stuff.
Oh.
And food past its eat date.
Yeah. Well, Five Below is much more geared towards kids. Yes. Well, the entire store.
And it's got a little bit of attitude to it.
And the only thing that I can really buy at Five Below and not worry about the, you know, quote unquote quality of it.
Medicine.
Like, no, not medicine. No, balls. Like, you know, footballs. Yeah. You know, testicles.
There's
some decent, you know, footballs, and I love those giant tennis balls and stuff like that.
Hula hoops, stuff like that. Yeah. I know, there's the old sturdy go-tos.
I'm not going
Five
there.
Below.
Yeah, I'm not going there for tech stuff.
Or three-piece suits.
No.
Yeah. I've spoken on the show many times about my father's thriftiness over the years, but my mom surprised me with a fact the other day, and she goes to the dollar store for anything that's disposable. Anything. So toilet paper, paper plates.
Really?
Anything. Yeah, and so, and she saves a lot of money doing it. Instead of going to the grocery store, where you can obviously get those things, you save a few bucks by going to the dollar store.
So do you think if your dad really wanted to treat your mom to a night out, he'd take her to the $10 part of the Five Below?
Steve, there are so many layers to the story.
Right?
Yes.
Put on your best. We're going to the $10 department.
I'll never forget, we were at an event in the city, and your mom and dad were there, Nick, and I was just talking to your mom for a while.
Yeah,
eventually, your dad shows up. He's like, finally found a spot. He had driven around for blocks until he found a street spot.
If today you asked him about that event, he would remember the parking spot more than the event itself.
By the way, that is a comp. Now, we're not besmirching because I have Scottish in me as well. Scotch-Irish. The frugal nature of the...
Well, it's an interesting balance between being
Scottish.
Frugal and thrifty and cheap. And cheap, I think, is much more of a negative connotation because it means that you are inherently not generous.
Right.
If you're being thrifty... That doesn't necessarily mean you're not generous.
That you're not generous.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Two things about the dollar store. One, if you ever go there and the butter popcorn is available, get the butter popcorn.
Okay.
It is. And Steve, I know you like popcorn.
Yes.
And,
you know that about me.
You have been warned. Secondly, I had a question about the toilet paper.
Yeah.
How much are rolls of toilet paper at the dollar store? Like, it's not like a dollar a roll, is it? Because
enough.
That actually wouldn't be economical.
No, it's enough that it's better than your department stores, your grocery stores. And so for things that you're just not going to keep, you know, disposable things, apparently the dollar store is the way to go.
Any sort of gift wrapping and stuff like that, too.
Nick, I love your mother because I have a list of items that I will only buy at the dollar store. And it's like SOS pads.
Tin foil, aluminum foil.
Dude, they have pregnancy tests there, by the way. Really? At the dollar store.
Don't ever buy a pregnancy test.
I'm sure.
Are you kidding?
Stevie,
birth control? Pregnancy tests at the dollar store?
They have pregnancy tests, and they also have drug tests.
What is it, just a guy sitting on a stool? Yeah, you're pregnant.
So I was standing in line.
It's like, guess your weight.
And I noticed
either that or every single one of them gives a positive result.
It's a compressor. It's a magic eight ball. Maybe.
Well, so.
Outlook is good.
I noticed it. And I said something to the lady behind me, and she said to me that, you know what, like, it's probably not a bad investment as your first pregnancy test, right? Let me just see, not like first ever, but like, all right, before I go and spend.
It's your first opinion.
I don't know. How much are pregnancy tests?
Well,
Marissa, you get them all the time, right?
How much are they?
There's
an expiration date on those, though.
Hold on.
Yeah.
That holds no water at all. At what point do you go and get the real one after it says you're pregnant or not?
Yeah, when it's a...
You can't believe either one of them.
Yeah, but they do suggest that you take more than one as well.
But don't they suggest you take more than one of legitimate tests as opposed to one that you paid 40 cents for?
Yeah, but Preston, that's a good question. What if it comes up negative on the dollar store pregnancy test? You're like, all right, well, then I'm good. I don't have to invest in a real pregnancy
test. So 9 months into your pregnancy, no, I'm not pregnant. The dollar store test said I wasn't.
I was always appalled by that, but I did hear from a friend who was trying to get pregnant. And pregnancy tests, I think, are pretty expensive, like $10 or something
that. Way more than
how much are they?
Like some of the good ones and like the ovulating tests, like they can be expensive.
So if you're doing a couple of those every month, maybe go get the dollar store one as like, oh, wait, this might be the month.
I don't know.
Your tester one.
I'm not buying anything like that at Five Below or the dollar store. The only thing I buy at the dollar store are like decorations if they're good or like vases if I'm planning a party and I need 20 of them.
Right. Anything you need.
But listen, pregnancy tests,
What about drug tests?
No, I'm not buying anything like that. No food, nothing.
What about EpiPens?
No.
Sure, yeah. Right? You buy them like a gross of EpiPens for 50 cents.
Yeah, there's kind of like there's a certain line in the dollar store that I don't cross, and that's like where all the
diabetes drugs.
No, the groceries and stuff like that. There are, you know, there's gift
Even
wrapping.
Like the sponges and stuff like that are too. They fall apart after like a day.
No, it's not a steak. It's a Sterk.
We have a lot of people texting in that saying the dollar store pregnancy tests are spot on. That they're
really?
Good, that the no same way. Ones that are used in clinics and hospitals, fertility clinics and hospitals. This is what people are saying on the text messages. So I don't know.
Those are the Joe Namath pregnancy tests?
The Joe Namath pregnancy tests. Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought.
Hang on, here we go. Let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Me and my wife have three kids, and we bought three times at the dollar store, and they're the same ones that we got at the local hospital before they give you the blood test.
Is that right? So you're confident, and they were right, obviously, all three times then.
Yeah, I have three blessings at home.
All right. Well, good for you. Aww. Congratulations. And it only cost you
$3. Well, it cost me more than $3.
I bet. I know. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. What case?
So USA Today has a little study on these home pregnancy tests.
All right. It says here, so are dollar pregnancy tests accurate? The answer is yes. Yes, they are. The Food and Drug Administration regulates home pregnancy tests, meaning that if it's sold in the U.S., then it's the real deal.
Okay, but why is it being offered in the dollar store? But there's a reason that those products are placed in the dollar store. The same reason why there are products placed in TJ Maxx, Ross discount stores.
So
they
here's
don't
the deal.
Sell. So why are these not selling? If that's the case, why are they in the dollar
my
store?
Guess
my
guess is perhaps it's the way, I don't know what the packaging is like, but it's like, you know, when they used to have the generic brands in the supermarket, they'd be the same stuff a lot of times. Mm. But what kind of box does it come in?
I don't know. Does it correlate with people who are poor have unprotected sex more often? I don't know, you know, or who knows. But,
I'm talking about the product. I'm talking about the product itself. Why is it being sold at a dollar?
Is it overstock? Like overstock.com?
Maybe, right. Like that's what I mean. Is that the answer? Is it overstock and it just wasn't selling at Target, Walmart, places like that? And that's why it's now at the dollar store?
That's a good question. But also, just material wise, like, how much are they making per pregnancy test? If they're selling it for a dollar.
Yeah, it says right. here $1. One-step pregnancy test, $1, and that's at the dollar store.
Yeah, wow. And the reviews are, it's almost a five-star review after 50. It's actually just a piece of beef jerky, Preston.
Oh, is that?
You just piss on a piece of beef jerky. Yeah.
Yeah, you're pregnant.
If it turns, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go to Erica.
If it turns really brown, you're pregnant.
Erica, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. All right, so you have a friend that buys dollar store pregnancy tests?
Yes, I have two friends. One has two babies, and she convinced my other friend to start buying them from the dollar store, and they both are avid users.
So when they were so
avid user,
it's our favorite pregnancy test. Let me ask you. So they're very happy with the results, were they one and done? In other words, they used the test once. Did they do it twice? I'm not familiar with pregnancy tests, so they were confident with the results.
Well, they use the same one for each pregnancy.
Okay.
Just kidding. No, they use the same dollar store brand every pregnancy. This the one who's trying to get pregnant, she has a stockpile.
All right, it's weird because I don't fully understand.
Yeah.
To Kathy's point, why one would be and maybe you understand this, Erica. Why in another store you'd pay $15?
Because people will pay $15. That's the thing.
There's a reason that they're placed. No, at I the know dollar
that.
Store.
But it says here on our call screener,
thanks,
Erica, that you said that the tests are awkward. What do you mean by that?
Oh, she mentioned the one who's trying to get pregnant. She mentioned how awkward it was. I believe she's used the regular one, but the dollar store one is a little different process as to how you get the pee to the stick. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was either peeing directly or having to dip it in a cup. It doesn't provide a cup.
I see. Okay, so maybe that's it. Yeah, the other one comes with a goblet.
Yeah, you have to piss on your hands.
You piss on your hands.
And then you rub the stick in
You've
your hand.
You've got to put the stick in your teeth and bob into the toilet.
Yeah.
Well, she's
supposed
to tell her husband that she's
peeing
in one of their regular loot use cups.
You have to poop
on it. You have to put it in your teeth, lay on your back,
and
hike your hips up in the air and try and hit it. That's why it costs a dollar.
You have to be a squirter.
Oh my God.
This is the only one that squirted. I'll tell you this, though. That would make sense. So it doesn't come with a cup apparatus or something. So you have to hold it physically in the pee stream. All right, Erica, that makes sense.
I got somebody, four reasons. I'm sorry, Kath.
No, I was going to say, somebody texted me. I don't know if this is the case, but he claims that they're buying such mass amounts, the massive volumes, that it only costs them cents to
That's part of it.
Okay.
So they sell smaller quantities, like with the product itself is smaller in quantity. They carry their own labels. So that has a lot to do with it.
That helps.
Stuff that ends up in the dollar store is from the dollar store label, private label merchandise. Items are cheaply made, which also makes sense. Volume discounts, which is what you were talking about. And this one's going to make you really thrilled, Kathy. Your purchase could have toxic chemicals. So some of the stuff that they sell...
It's made in China with, lead paint.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily pregnancy tests, but it could be any product.
Just products, yes.
Okay. Hang on. Eric worked in retail, so
all right.
He's an expert.
Please.
Let's see what that's all about.
So are we.
You fold, fold the stuff at the Gap, so he's going to tell us what's going on. Hey, hi, Eric. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Good. So what did you do in retail so we know of your qualifications here, sir?
So I used to be a grocery store manager for a long time. And working with the retailers, you go to the shows and the expos and you see all the big manufacturers and they have all their fancy products laid out and sampled. At the end of the day, what happens is a lot of the companies, large companies, like the ones that make those type of products, make a ginormous amount. Now, they make it across the board. They have multiple labels that they put on it. I'll give you an example. Hers, for instance, potato chips. They make potato chips not only for Hers. They make potato chips for Costco. They make potato chips for, all the other brands. they just put a different label on it.
Yeah, this is a common practice. So like the store brand of a particular place might be made by another company that you're more familiar with, and so they offer those at a discounted price. Correct?
Yes, that's correct. And the idea is that overall, when they make them across the board that way, instead of them not making any money on product that's going to go to, you know, they'd have to dispose of it, obviously, at a certain amount of shelf life.
Right.
After that. So to save that, they just put multiple labels. So label it or sell it to different companies, say the dollar stores, the Dollar Generals or whatever they're called, or, you know, Corner Dollar or whatever the case may be. And those guys still make something rather than at least nothing.
Right. It's not a total loss.
So it's the exact same product being sold for much less.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. All right.
All right. So that's your pregnancy test then, if you don't mind running the risk of some sort of toxic chemicals.
But Eric, right. Might these...
Right. You can get your orange juice and your pregnancy test at the same place.
Right. Yeah.
But might these be, they're closer to their shelf life ending and you need to get them quickly? Is that part of it?
No, I don't think that's the, that's not usually the case because shelf life is those are all FDA rules you have to meet in order to produce a product.
No,
in the U.S.
Okay, all right, I got you. All right, thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah,
Eric.
No worries.
So, same thing. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's some. Listen, at the dollar store, you do get some lesser quality things for what you pay.
Well, that's the perception. Yeah. You're not getting premium stuff, but you're getting it's where you go
usable
to get your
stuff.
Nick's mom doing stuff that's disposable.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Plant, you know, paper cups,
pregnancy tests,
stuff like that. New car.
So, kind of what I'm understanding here right now is that you shouldn't pay $10 for something at the $5 store.
Well, who knows? Maybe you're getting the designers in the $10 section.
The designer.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. They're also going to have how we got started on this was Five Below is also going to have some products that are 10 and below range, but they're going to be in the special 10 Below gift shop for electronics. They're adding a section called 10 Below Tech. So you can buy, you know, like Bluetooth speakers and things like that.
Like a $10 Bluetooth keyboard.
Ones. Yeah, yeah.
This is an iron lung for $9.
Oh, wow.
Steve, I mean, I know that...
Not
you have
ever
your preferences
in my wild
okay.
Ever.
Would you ever get a Bluetooth speaker from a place like
no.
that?
No. Okay. No, and never, never.
Let me go to some other calls here about the pregnancy test, because some are swearing by the dollar store pregnancy test. I'm going to Jen. Hey, Jen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Oh, my God. Love you guys.
Oh, thank you, Jen. What's up?
Okay. So I'm telling you, I tell everybody who scoffs about these dollar store tests, they are the real deal. Okay. I know because my husband and I went through infertility. Okay. My twins are now 9.
Wow.
And then we had a little surprise, too. During that time, he used a lot of pregnancy tests, okay? So then we did IVF, had the 2 embryos implanted, and not kidding you, like, I tried out the pregnancy test, like, a couple days later. Like, you're not supposed to try so early because it's not supposed to show up. And it showed up that I was pregnant, like, way earlier than, you know, the pregnancy tests are supposed to show you. So, I mean, they really worked. Like,
saying you got even before you were technically supposed to use them, they gave you an accurate result.
Yeah, like they tell you, you know how they tell you to use it, around the time you would miss your period. Well, I used it even sooner because I knew I had the embryos. I was like, all right, let me see. Did they take? Did IVF work? It worked.
Let me ask you, Jen, did you have to, it didn't come with a cup. Did you have to just hold it in the pee stream or was it?
You know, I think what they were talking about, it's not like so nicely packaged like the ones you get, you know, the first response and, you know, all that. It's bare bones kind of stuff.
It just rattles around in the box, right? Just chucked in there. Yeah, but it works. That's all that matters. Yeah. And it worked for you, and now you have your blessing, so that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
I do. I have 3 blessings.
Oh, 3? Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jen. Yes. Appreciate it. Somebody was texting and saying you can get the same thing at Walmart for 88 cents.
Wow, man.
It's like even cheaper at other places.
And live bait.
As well.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Is my bait pregnant?
Hang on. Let me go to Kate here. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing? Good. So you've done the pregnancy tests?
Yes, absolutely. So I buy pregnancy tests on Amazon.
I buy this brand that's called Wanfo, but basically you can get like 25 tests for like $15, and they also do this with the ovulation test.
Partay!
Wow.
Yes. So what the test actually is, it's a small piece of paper that's about the length of a Q-tip. So it's not wrapped in plastic. You do have to dip it into a cup of urine, so it's not as fancy. But, I mean, if you take apart one of the, you know, $15 pregnancy tests, if you pop it open, it's the exact same piece of paper inside of it.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. So, all right, so 25 tests for $15.
What am I bid? What am I bid?
I have a great idea. Thank you, by the way, Kate. So how about this? Instead of the world's largest gender reveal party, we do the world's biggest pregnancy test party.
Yes.
We'll pay for all of them.
We'll let you piss all over the place.
We can get 25 for $15.
We'll get, honestly, we could do that. That's our fallback plan.
We'll shut out all the guys out of the tent. And we'll
just
have
to let people pee in the tent.
Hey, why
absolutely,
not?
It's
on asphalt. We can squeegee it out of there.
Let's go to the dollar store and get some dollar buckets.
We could do that too. I love where this
hike
is
up
going.
Your, yeah. Hike up, and we can play hike up your skirt a little more
yeah.
And show me if you're pregnant or not.
I was in for the gender reveal. I'm not in for this.
What if everybody found out they were pregnant? How beautiful would that be?
Here's the deal.
It's a miracle of life.
We'll have the dads pee on it too, just to, so
okay,
it's fair.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So
I like this.
Maybe we need to think about this. So is this technically litmus paper?
Maybe we need to think about it.
No, it's not litmus paper, is it?
It seems like it.
Well, now we need a chemist.
In that school, we have one.
Oh, yes. Sorry. We have a lab scientist.
Hey, it's Casey. I'm a lab scientist.
Hi, Chrissy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, it says here you're a lab scientist.
Yes, I'm a certified medical lab technologist.
Okay.
I do this testing all day long.
Can you answer Steve's question first? It's not litmus paper, is it?
No, not at all.
Is it newspaper?
Litmus paper tests the acidity, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm pre-law.
Alkalinity versus acidity. I don't know. All right, Chrissy, go ahead. What were you going to tell us?
So in the laboratory, I work in a hospital setting. The pregnancy tests that we use are sensitive down to 25 micrograms. It's an insanely small amount. It can basically pick up that you're positive for pregnancy about a week or two after you can actually become pregnant, before you would even miss your first period sometimes.
Wow.
Right. And I did see these in the dollar store years ago, and I stopped short. I couldn't believe it. But I did pick up the product, and I read everything on it, and they are the exact same sensitivity that we use in the laboratory.
Wow.
25 micrograms. Okay. Yes.
So it's the same. It's not like a novelty where if you pull on it, it snaps your thumb. One of those things.
I know what Casey was just thinking out loud a week or two. So if you have unprotected sex today,
yes,
we could get
you could come down to the Camp Out for Hunger and we could test you and have an accurate reading.
I mean,
not.
Come on.
From dollar store test.
Please.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Leave two lines open to see if somebody would be in for that. Please.
All right. Let me ask you, Chrissy, since you're a lab scientist, if you were to have unprotected sex in the parking lot of the Camp Out for Hunger the morning of.
We could reveal it at the Christmas miracle.
All right, I guess you need a little bit of time.
Yeah,
all right, I got you.
It's a little gestation period.
And we would want children born of love and not a contest.
So, Chrissy, you're saying that these very, very cheap pregnancy tests are the real deal then?
Yeah, and to go further on that, the reason they cost a dollar or they're so cheap is, again, because it's no frills. It's volume discount. And just as a reference, I mean, years ago, I had a pregnancy test done, and I got the billing back from the laboratory, and they charged me $72. I have insurance. I worked for that hospital, and it was a $72 test.
Out of your pocket, or do you have a cheaper copay?
No, that's what the insurance
paid for.
So a buck from the dollar store and 72 bucks through the hospital.
Yeah. Which is
Jesus.
Ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm still
interesting.
Okay.
So
I'm
for
still
people
not,
that don't
not buying it.
Thanks,
for
Chrissy.
People that don't have insurance, you know, $1 is $1.
And God, yes.
Yeah, I agree. You can buy, give them as party favors,
and get some Mylar balloons while you're there.
Absolutely, right? And some live bait.
Thank you, Chrissy.
That is something that the dollar store, I mean, that yeah, that the dollar store is great for when Party City and those places run out of helium because there's been a helium shortage for so long.
Yeah.
You can go to the dollar store and they also have helium and they will blow your balloons up for a dollar.
Pregnancy balloons, Preston. It's the latest rage.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, this is all very eye-opening.
Yes, and vaginal.
Yes, we got to say that.
Clinical. By the way, there's a vagina museum that opened up recently.
Where?
Hello.
this place is huge.
I could even hear Kathy laughing.
That was good. That was the only funny thing Casey said all week.
It's only Tuesday!
Damn it.
Said something funny yesterday.
Let's see where that... Vagina museum.
What's this around the door? Oh, that's hair.
Oh. You walk through the hairy door.
Oh, you know what, God, you know the doorbell does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to keep pushing.
I know. Over and over. Sometimes you can't find the doorbell.
Duck down, to your head will hit that bump.
Oh, my God.
It's in London.
Oh, okay.
The Vagina Museum.
This place is sopping wet.
Is opening. God almighty. Yeah.
You started it.
It's your fault.
A woman named Florence Schechter discovered that Iceland had a penis museum, and she felt that there needs to be a vagina museum.
This place is really wild.
In fact,
what are all the cats doing in here?
It's a different proposition to the penis museum. She said, that's kind of novelty. Penises and jars. We're going to be much more thoughtful and actually explore the topic.
I don't think anyone wants to see vaginas in jars.
First up, no...
Yeah, no. That's weird.
That's Hannibal Lecter territory. This is really wild. Oh, look, churros.
A note on the name. Schechter acknowledges the frustration in how the word vagina is often used when people are really talking about the external vulva. But they... they needed
she must be a gas at parties.
They needed a term that people were already familiar with. A lot of people just said don't know the word vulva, and people are not going to engage with something that they don't know.
Sadly, attendance hasn't been that good at the Butthole Museum. It's just not a popular attraction.
Where's the entrance?
Get around back.
Butthole!
But it says a vagina museum is frankly more...
We'll go around back and check out the Butthole Museum.
Frankly.
This place stinks.
The museum will look at the entire gynecological anatomy, the inside...
Can't you just look at a book?
...as well as the outside and consider its representation in culture and history... But the fact a vagina museum needs a bit of a glossary in the first place is proof of its purpose, she says.
Everybody get on the vagina rail.
That's what takes you around?
It's a small vagina.
Vagina rail. Wow.
It's a gaping butthole after.
Apparently
all
we...
All right, here we go.
All right.
Whee!
We are still crushingly bad about talking about all the bits between women's legs.
So you need a museum for that?
Often ignorant of euphemistic, vague, or embarrassed.
I think we're treating it in a proper fashion.
Even when we have a vagina ourselves.
Well, I don't, but I can access one.
A wider culture and wider culture attitudes.
Woo! Look at this vagina! This thing's huge! Woo! You're not approaching it with the reverence we'd intended.
It says here, and wider culture attitudes to them run the gamut of sniggering, censorious. I don't know what that... Oh, censorious. Sorry about that.
Oh.
Censoring.
I thought that was the bartender at the...
censorious.
Star Wars bar.
Your name is Censorious. Will you please top off Vagina Face's drink?
That's right. There was a vagina.
Yeah, there was.
Your face.
It looks like a vagina. And your friend looks like a butthole.
Whack that.
It says a gamut of sniggering, censorious, disgusted, objectifying, or actively oppressive about the vag.
Okay, we're looking at it. It simply looks like really pretty much like a bookstore.
Yeah,
is it looks pretty boring. It doesn't look like what you'd want, like rides and stuff like that. You know, E.T. waves goodbye to you at the thing. You'd want that.
Yeah, or, you know.
Hope you had a good time. Did you enjoy the vaginas? So many vaginas.
I mean, he's got those huge fingers.
Oh, no. Dude.
I'll be right here. Right there. That little bump right there. That's where I'll be.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Anyway, Five Below's going to be charging more money.
Wait a second. Now you're going back?
Well, I never really left.
We never left.
We never
left. All you had to do is click your vaginas together.
Three times.
We're going home.
So exciting. We took a wonderful journey there through space and time.
Yeah, we did. I don't even know where to go after this.
I think you could sing.
Maybe take a break, I guess.
Yeah.
Do that thing.
This is a great idea. Somebody suggested a giant vagina like the heart at the Franklin Institute. Something you can walk through.
You get to walk through.
Well, they have the colon.
The colon.
Yeah, they got the brain at the Franklin Institute now, too.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Absolutely.
That's different than the vagina and butthole.
It is.
Say that again, Kev.
It was clean.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. The butthole is closing in 5 minutes. The butthole is closing in 5 minutes.
Is that for people who want to get in or people who want to get out?
The butthole is puckering up in 5 minutes. The butthole is puckering up in 5 minutes.
For some customers, it's always closed.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the butthole will reopen at 9 a.m.
Oh, our interns aren't even cracking a smile out there. Oh, good God. Okay. Casey's giving me the wrap it up signal.
Sorry, dudes.
It's all good. I should...
That's probably best.
I should give something away. What do you want me to give away? We have lots of things to give away.
Well, I mean, we do have this Great American Smokeout thing on Thursday.
Dr.
Rosen Penis.
Yes.
Will be here on Thursday for the Great American
Smokeout. May I help you, Dr.?
Oh, it's me, Dr. Rosen Penis. I'm just here to check out the sandwich file.
All right, so... if you have been a lifelong smoker and cannot shake the habit, let's see if we can end that permanently for you. We'll take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. Here's the deal. You have to be here on Thursday, no later than 7 a.m., and we're going to pop you into a room, and Dr. Rosenberg is going to be hypnotizing you, and hopefully you will give up the habit for good. It'll be a life-changing event for you.
He does a little, there's a thing I listen to he recorded for me. It's sort of a meditation thing that I do every day. It's very effective. It wasn't for smoking cessation, but we've had many people walk out the door after this experience over the years and never smoke again.
All right, 215-263-WMMR, that's number five callers. We did. That was kind of the noticer. We could do more noticer because I've only noticed one thing, really.
I don't really know what the hell happened.
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I'm going to mention this again. I'm going to hit it pretty hard today, and we're going to judge the because we're getting close to Camp Out for Hunger. We're within 2 weeks. We're in the red zone now.
Yes.
So we want to see if this gender reveal has legs to it or not. World's largest gender reveal party. We need enough pregnant people. That's it. And pregnant people that are available to come by in the morning and be a part of this whole thing. So if you are expecting, haven't revealed the sex of the baby, or just want to pretend. Actually, we would like it to be a real secret. Get in touch with us. We have a link on PrestonandSteve.com. It says be a part of the world's largest gender reveal. Just click on that, and you can send us your information. If you're available, come down. I think we're going to shoot for the Monday, December 2nd.
Yes, because what we're going to do requires perhaps the possibility of a rain date.
Yeah.
So we need to do that. In a city that you earlier reported was the sixth most sinful in the country.
Yeah.
I figured there'd be more knocked up people.
Yeah. I actually heard from a couple of people who just did gender reveals that were like, man, I wish I would have known about this.
Well, listen. We're going to make it magical no matter what we do or regretful.
Or we'll find something else to do. So let's see if you're interested. Get in touch with us. Spread the word. Let people know who are in your life that are expecting. And maybe they'll want to be a part of it.
Or else we're going to go to Plan B, which is the largest pregnancy test.
Yes, which is not too bad. World's largest pregnancy test. So, mass pregnancy test. You don't even have to be pregnant. Maybe, wouldn't that be wild? You have no inkling at all. There's no way I'm pregnant. And then you find out you're pregnant.
You know, we do, Preston, we do like a baptism where you get in a pool full of pee.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my back. God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's mix everybody's pee together and see what happens then.
And guess who's pregnant?
Chances are, right. Jesus. All right. I have some stats and studies that I would like to share with you. Fresh from the Just Saying Institute. So if you guys don't mind, I can purse out some information. Purse.
We wrapped up the publish, put out, promulgate.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Parse.
Parse.
Parse. That's what I'm looking for.
We
parse.
Wrapped up the noticer prematurely. Now we move on to the Just Saying Institute.
Yes.
Located in West Virginia, over 200 sprawling acres.
I do have some interesting
An
things.
An accredited university providing information for morning shows worldwide.
This out of the Just Saying Institute.
Its monorail system runs 200 miles long.
Via an Ohio State University study has determined that of the thousands of possibilities, there are actually only 35 universally accepted facial expressions.
Oh. I've heard this, and this is what makes the facial recognition software relatively easy to configure.
And not only that, perhaps most remarkable, it is that roughly half of these, 17 to be exact, are all expressions of happiness.
Yay!
So we have more expressions for happiness than any other emotion as a human being, facially, that are recognized by other people. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
What's the old saying about it takes far more muscles, facial frown. Muscles to frown than it does to smile?
Yeah. Or as my buddy Steve used to say, I'm just getting a good workout in. Humans are meant to smile much more often than they grimace, scowl, frown, or wince. And the study author, Alex Martinez, said this was a delight to discover.
It was a delight to discover.
Alex is a cognitive scientist and a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the university and says because it speaks to the complex nature of happiness. The current study is an expansion of previous research by the same study authors, which found that humans are able to correctly determine other people's emotions about 75% of the time. Simply by observing blood flow changes around the nose, eyebrows, cheeks, and chin.
So a quick question here pertaining to that. Do we believe, or out of all the times we've discussed things that are, you know, that relate to this, that the smile is a physiological response, or is that a learned response, a smile to a positive situation?
I'm assuming
because babies smile.
I'm assuming it's physiological,
right?
And maybe there's more in this. I did read this study, but I found it a couple of days ago, so I've forgotten most of it. But for the current study, researchers created a list of 821 words to describe feelings, and had these translated into other languages to download images across multiple cultures. With 7.2 million images of facial expressions from 31 countries, scientists used computer algorithms to discover that the human face can combine different muscles in different ways to express itself in 16,384 unique ways. So you're capable of doing over 16,000 different faces, I guess, if you
will.
I've
made it so far to 14,447.
I
keep a log.
When they sorted all of these thousands of expressions into categories, study authors expected to find several hundred variations of emotions. Instead, they were surprised to only find that there are 35. And because of the narrow results, researchers thought perhaps most expressions were culture specific. Okay. So they analyzed the same data set of 7.2 million images and instead found that there are just 8 primary expressions.
8 primary. This is very interesting.
They concluded most facial expressions are understood by all. And about half of these expressions are used to express joyfulness. So
globally, it doesn't matter. Across all races, across all countries,
beliefs,
we know that a smile is a pleasant, positive thing.
Correct.
That is that. I mean, what binds us together is more
I'm saying that that would be even like primitive, more primitive, you know, lost cultures out in the Amazon.
Would
or something
know
like
a
that.
Smile.
Would know what a smile means.
How many smile or happy emojis are there?
There's a lot.
Right?
There's a lot more of those than...
turds.
Well, turds. Yeah, okay. There's probably only one. But I was going to say frowny faces or yeah. angry faces.
Mm. Now, do you think...
Or sad.
How many happy faces do you think your dogs will recognize as...
They didn't check with animals on this study.
Well, I'm asking you, not the scientist.
This is your study now. You conduct it.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if you made it on, your data, was it accepted by the Just Saying Institute?
Well, because I had wondered if, you know, when you smile with teeth, if dogs saw that as a sign of aggression, because dogs only show their teeth when they're, like, growling and not happy.
Get a clipboard and yeah. talk to your dogs.
Yeah. Go put your face in a bunch of dogs.
We'll take you to a kennel.
I need a lab coat, too, guys.
Yeah, I don't know, Case.
Yeah.
And maybe it varies upon breed.
You know, I contend that I know that people say, no, animals don't smile. I disagree. I feel that there is an equivalent of a smile. I can see it in my cats and in my my dogs and in my salamander.
Can you tell when somebody is fake smiling?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The secret is in the eyes, from what I understand.
Yeah, there's like a genuine... Yeah, facial expression and then something that's put on.
And they're usually wearing a shirt that says, ask me about my insincerity.
Yeah. I was watching a retrospective or a sort of mini biography on Julia Roberts. And she talked about, because she has a big, beautiful smile, about fake smiling a lot. And when she was doing it, and she would talk about times where she was actually doing it, I couldn't tell. Now, she's a good actress on top of it. But it was interesting because I think I can tell in most people. But sometimes they pass the test without me being able to pick up on it.
Weren't we just talking about this the other day when we... pose with listeners or whoever that come into the studio and you take pictures with them. I always say go with the first, because our interns will snap a bunch of shots for them, but always go with the first one because that's going to be genuine. After a while, we're all just holding it and it becomes fake.
Yeah.
The best.
I try to when let's say my family is taking a picture, I try to say something that might be fun right before the picture's taken. So you get a legitimate smile. Yeah. It's so funny, especially kids that go through when they're still toddlers and you have them smile for a picture and they do that fake smile, which is
teeth out.
Yeah, just teeth, no curling up of the sides of the mouth. I have tons of pictures of my kids just showing their teeth. That's all they're doing. They're just showing their teeth.
But a child
going to the dentist
would genuinely smile or laugh in a natural response.
Yep.
But when asked to do it, they don't know what approximates
smile.
That.
Yeah, they just go.
You know, okay, so you know what I do? If you take, like, at the happy place, when we were taking 9 million pictures, my cousin was there with her son and she was trying to get a nice picture of the two of them. And by the end, that's what he was doing. It was just teeth. He wasn't even looking at the camera. He was like looking past it. So I do this with my mom too, because she ruins every picture ever taken ever.
Oh my God.
Close your eyes. Stop smiling. Close your eyes. On the count of three, open up. And I'll go 1, 2, 3. Okay, open up and smile. And then snap the shot. And it works like a charm with my mom.
Do you jingle your keys?
And it worked with Jackson when we were at Happy Place.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Well, the study found that happiness, whether expressed in a contented smile, glowing cheeks, or crinkly eyes, is the face that other humans find most recognizable. Researchers note that there are 3 expressions for fear, 4 for surprise.
Right.
And 5 each for sadness and anger.
What's your fear face?
I don't know.
Kathy's just so scared.
Looks like she just heard the word moist.
By the way, it says here, disgust has only one expression.
Oh, no. I've chronicled 14.
Kathy.
My God.
That's disgusting. Like, so disgusting.
Give me a 13.
Have you guys ever spent a decent amount of time in the front of the mirror just making faces?
Yeah. And you know what?
That was my first job out of high school.
That's a standard.
I was a professional gurner.
Acting practice.
Okay.
If you're going to be a thespian, if you're going to be doing acting at all, is they spend a lot of time in the mirror and recognizing what that expression feels like. So I think the idea would be to make whatever face you think is an emotion looking away from the mirror, and then look at the mirror and see what it looks like. And it might not be what you think it is until you see yourself doing it.
Well, it's true. And you know who does that as well are animators, who are drawing. That when they're doing that, they actually look at, there's old pictures of Walt Disney looking into a mirror.
Yeah,
and making those faces. Making faces.
And in fact, I remember when Billy Bob Thornton had done Sling Blade.
Yeah,
he said that he got that face from he stared in the mirror and did all kinds of weird faces and voices, and he came across that one.
You see in the movies all the time where people will stand in front of the mirror and act out interactions, like they're going to meet a girl for the first time,
right,
or they're going for a job interview, and I've never ever done that, but I have many, many times, especially growing up in my adolescent and teenage years, spent time in front of the mirror making the goofiest faces possible.
That's why you're good at it.
That's why I'm so goddamn good.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you're pretty, you can pull off, stage acting and stuff like that.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll make a face and my, you know what I'm going to say, my, I'll get like a cramp.
Yes.
And it hurts.
Oh, it hurts so bad. like my jaw will cramp up like right underneath my chin. It's like, oh, God, this hurts so bad. I'm just going to have to sit this one out. Oh,
He was known for making children laugh with his funny faces.
Oh, no.
And then one day, he strained a muscle. He thought his life was over until a young therapist entered his life. Hi, I'm Kathy Romano, and I think you're a raging idiot. But we can fix this.
Let me help you.
Oh, it's like those cramps.
It hurts.
You have to just let it take its course, man. You're like, oh, my God, this is so bad.
I'm just afraid I'll never be able to go again.
The sequel to Brian's song.
I'll never be able to what?
I'm afraid I'll never be able to go again.
Well,
why do you need to go that again?
Yeah, why
go that again?
No, but you're right. So actors have this ability to make, I mean, sometimes, especially when they do very close-up shots, very, very subtle facial movements to convey emotions, and they do it, the really good ones can do it incredibly well.
Well, yeah, someone who comes to mind for that is Meryl Streep. If you watch the Deer Hunter, which you should watch the second half of Case, there's a sequence that takes place where De Niro comes back from Vietnam, and she is in this market, and she's working in the market, packing ourselves on the shelves, and what she conveys just with like a half eye open or a slight turn of the head, all that stuff is just showing this despair that she's trying to hold on, and not let come through. And it's great. But, that's why those people are where they are.
Yeah, right? And Bridges of Madison County, which is, kind of a sleeper of a movie.
Or Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges. But there are so many subtleties in her performance.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. Yes, you're exactly right. That's, mm-hmm. that's a heart-tugging movie.
And then there are actors with over-expressive faces like Willem Dafoe, who is he's able to contort his face, and he's a great actor, but he is sort of the opposite of Meryl Streep, because he'll just do, especially when he's the Green Goblin, and Spider-Man.
Subtlety there.
I'm going to blow you up, Spider-Man!
But Jim Carrey's by far the master changing his face and being able to look like a completely different person.
Did you ever see The Goblin in Madison County?
No, I did not see The Goblin.
I love you, Clint Eastwood! You take such great pictures of me! Avenge me!
Wow.
Take pictures of me, Clint Eastwood. Take pictures of me.
All right, but of all the emotions that you
like these pictures?
You can convey with the face and have recognized, more than half of those are simply for happiness alone. So that's, I think that says some good things about us.
I do like it. People. I think it's more fascinating that on that level that a smile pretty much means the same, because we know certain hand gestures, perhaps an extending for a handshake could mean a sign of aggression to another culture. But a smile is recognized around the world as a benevolent thing.
All right, let's get to another study from the Just Saying Institute and see what we can find.
The Just Saying Institute.
Expand your mind a little bit here. A new genetic test aims to let helpful parents pick smarter, taller, and healthier babies. Why, that is right out of the movie Gattaca, folks.
It is. Designer kids. It's coming. It's actually, in a way, it's here.
Yeah.
At some aspects.
Yeah.
That ends... we're bordering on, eugenics, right?
Yeah. Is that what it's called, eugenics?
Yeah. I mean, it's what Hitler's program was, an Aryan...
No.
a perfection.
Lawrence Tellier, founder of New Jersey startup Genomic Predictions, created a DNA screening method that scores embryos with risk estimates for heart disease, diabetes, or other illnesses.
Hmm.
Wow. It also gives a report card on their predicted height and intelligence.
Think about, like, you know, years ago. So there is a case to be made, like, with me, and Dr. Mike had said so, like, and perhaps with you, Preston, that my autoimmune, the vitiligo and perhaps the achalasia that I had the treatment for, was as a result of my parents smoking in a car, you know, secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
You know, they found some data. Listen, it is what it is. That's okay. And you don't know those things at the time. You have to judge everything in the time. But he says there's strong data that over the years that could cause deficiencies, you know, that occurred. So the stuff that we learned. But, I mean, in this case, you're sort of saying, I don't want this type of, you know, obviously, no, you know, hey, I hope I have a kid with diabetes.
Well, you remember in that movie in Gattaca, you know, the parents decide not to do any genetic manipulation on Ethan Hawke's character.
Yes.
Ends up with a heart condition.
Right.
So their next son, they tailored and made sure that he was going to be fine. And what happens, he struggles to find work because it becomes public knowledge that he may not live that long. And he's got to work a more blue collar job.
Right, right.
And then it becomes a thing where you hide who you are and what your genetic makeup is, because it can be a detriment to your future.
And think of all the people, though, who have been encumbered by things, Stephen Hawking, you know, that have gone on to do great things. What is the measure of a person?
So right now, the test is being offered to hopeful parents at in vitro fertilization clinics as an addition to standard tests that only screen for major abnormalities. So I don't know if anything like this will become, you know, popular or...
You know what I've been finding over the past couple of, you know, decades? That everything that you thought science fiction had warned us against, it's all happening. Every bit of it is happening.
And, of course, you remember, you know, like I just mentioned in vitro fertilization. Back when I was a kid, and Steve, you know, you remember test tube babies, how controversial that was. And it was an affront to God, and all this, you know, stuff was just all this controversy surrounded it.
And now it's giving hope to families.
Commonplace, people are having children, and it's a wonderful thing.
What does it normally cost, IVF? Is it like 50 grand?
A dollar at the dollar store. They have a little kit there. It's got Boo Boo Kitty on it.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Nick, I think it's around there.
So if I'm paying $50,000 or $60,000, it really does present a lot of moral questions, because if you're able to screen out some diseases like cerebral palsy, you know, these are things that obviously you can be a functioning normal human being.
Sure.
But if you are able to avoid that, wouldn't you want to?
They had those hearings over, and I forget it. I saw the footage of a young man speaking eloquently. Was it here, or I forget where it was? But he had Down syndrome, and he was talking about, would you eradicate me?
Right.
You know,
It's a great question.
Yeah. But you want your kids to have the best life they could possibly have. And if that means physical, mental, whatever it may be, you want the best for them. It doesn't mean that they're going to have a bad life, but you want to give them the best opportunities that they can.
This is for greater minds like Gary Lauer to consider.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know. Just real quick, if you do IVF, you don't have to opt for the genetic testing. That's what costs extra.
Okay.
Right.
And listen, if you can have three testicles,
you can order them. The man has gone on.
Yeah.
I had three testicles.
And yet
he created the space program.
Go for it. All right. We have to take a break. Thank you. These are studies from the Just Saying Institute. We'll crunch the data and we'll get some more. I want to give away a $50 gift card from Primo Hoagies, and they have amazing hoagie trays. You can get in on their gift card extravaganza. For reward members, buy a $50 gift card, get a $10 gift card. Buy a $100 gift card, get a $25 gift card. Details, PrimoHoagies.com.
Awesome.
Caller number 20, you get a free $50 gift card right now. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang, starting Monday, December 2nd, we are camping out and broadcasting our show from Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
It's Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Philabundance and fueled in part by Energy Transfer.
Now, join us for special guests each morning inside the warm confines of the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent,
with free hot coffee from Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show.
Join us on site and drop off your non-perishable food donations at the General Building Contractors Association
Foundation Demolish Hunger donation area.
Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners.
Select Event Group, Chorus Photography, Light Action Productions, IMS Technology Services, Skelly's Amusements, Shapiro Fire Prevention, and Newman University Videography. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
It's story time, everybody.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by HERS, a Philly hometown favorite for generations. Whether you're hosting a tailgate or grabbing a snack on the go, wherever you're snacking, make it Philly, Philly.
Yeah.
And grab a bag of your favorite HERS flavor. HERS, forever good. Well, bride-to-be is called off her wedding after her fiancé refused to ditch his best man because he was too short and had a unibrow and crooked teeth.
Wow. So superficial.
The anonymous bride said the best man was only 5'3" and would look ridiculous escorting her beautiful sister down the aisle.
This is a consideration.
Posted this on Facebook. The bride, believed to be from the United States, revealed, "I'm getting married next Saturday. All of my bridesmaids are gorgeous, and honestly, I can't imagine having better-looking friends.
I'm looking forward to going to your wedding."
"My issue is my fiancé is best man. He's only 5'3", so he will look ridiculous escorting my sister down the aisle. He is homely as well, a unibrow and crooked teeth."
Oh, my God.
"One of those really big smiles that shows his teeth and 10 feet of gum, too."
Sounds like they get along.
In the post, which was later shared on Reddit, she added that she asked if the best man could stand on the end in photos so he could be cropped out.
Wow.
"Should I ask my future husband if he could be at the end of the line of the men in all the pictures during the ceremony? And that way he could be cropped out or avoided in photos. It would make him have to pick another best man. He won't do it because his friend spent about $15,000 on his bachelor party weekend."
Wow.
"I don't particularly care. And if he decides that his gift depends on his placement in the wedding party, I don't think he's a good friend anyway." She continued saying, like, she's the judge of who's a good friend. She continued saying she was so upset that she decided to cancel the entire wedding.
Called it off. Well, maybe a bullet was dodged here.
She said, "I'm crying and so upset that my fiance said that he wouldn't move him. I'm so insanely upset and told him I'm calling off the wedding."
Wouldn't it be wild if she hooked up with the unibrow guy?
"I just need some support from my fellow women who know how stressful it is to pull off a beautiful and aesthetically pleasing wedding day."
We've heard stories like this before, you know, where they want the wedding pictures to look perfect.
Other Reddit users criticized the bride, saying that she was being ridiculous and the groom had a lucky escape. Alarney Clark from England recently revealed her 14-month-old son Harry is fixated on a life-size female doll head that's normally used as hairstyling training tool. You know the type we're talking about.
Sure,
right?
I absolutely do, yeah.
She says her son always loved playing with her hair to fall asleep, even as a small baby. So she introduced the doll so his dad could help, to help put him to bed. She added that the doll's hair is the same color and length as her own, and Harry took to it immediately. He has since named the doll Baba. And insists on bringing it wherever he goes.
Wait a second. What was your doll's name, Kathy?
And sleeps with it.
Jatna and Keetna.
Okay.
Jatna and Keetna. Clark says the doll has creeped her and her husband out a few times, but has also helped Harry become a more independent sleeper. So they're
kill your mommy. Kill your mommy.
Yeah. I'm still amazed when this happens. A hunter was seriously wounded Saturday when he was accidentally shot by his brother. The victim, a 28-year-old, was airlifted from the scene. His brother told police he accidentally shot his brother with a muzzleloader rifle, thinking that he was shooting a deer that had been wounded.
How does this happen?
Sheriff's deputies dispatched around 5:30, where the hunter had been shot, found the brothers who had been hunting together. An investigation on the scene and in follow-up interviews determined this was, by all accounts, an accidental shooting that occurred after the men looking for a deer that one brother had shot earlier with his muzzle-loaded rifle.
So are we to believe that when the second he hears some twigs break, he turns around and just fires?
Seems what it... I don't know. The brothers could not find the deer and were ending the search when they became separated in the dense cornfield. The brother who fired the shot was some distance away when he thought he saw the deer moving. He heard what he thought was a deer moving and fired, apparently. So, yeah, Steve.
That's what he did.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Verify it's a deer.
After firing the shot, he realized he had hit his brother.
Sorry.
And immediately called 911.
He said sorry.
The brothers walked
somewhere. The deer is standing in the brush, going, "Oh, this is awesome."
The brothers walked out of the cornfield where first responders provided medical help. You should probably verify.
Yeah, just wheel around and shoot.
That it indeed looks like an animal before you shoot it. All right. In Iowa, in December 2015, Zaza, 38-year-old Burmese man, was sent to the Iowa clinic with a referral letter for circumcision.
Oh, boy.
The letter was also faxed in four places on the referral form. It said circumcision. Said Zaza's attorney, Mark Harding. The letter, Harding says, was to help with Zaza's trouble speaking English, but he signed more forms at the clinic. The interpreter filled out intake forms and said, "We filled out that it was to cut the skin." That particular document ended up being shredded, Harding said. In January, instead of circumcision, Dr. Kevin Berushing had performed a vasectomy on Zaza. Harding said Zaza never understood what they were trying to get across and that it was their duty and their job to get that across. Harding said they tried to come to an agreement with the Iowa clinic before trial. He said, yeah, they blamed him. They said he should have known we were wrong in the way we were doing it and pointing the finger at him the whole way through.
It was Zaza's fault?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Zaza, it was not Zaza's fault. Wednesday, a jury made a $2 million verdict saying that Dr. Berushing had shouldered 70% of the blame and Zaza 30% of the blame.
Okay.
So
how much money did Zaza get?
He gets $2 million.
Ooh.
Dr. Berushing was the professional. He was the one that should have made sure because he was the one cutting on the body. Last April, the jury awarded over $12 million to another man who was wrongly diagnosed with prostate cancer by that same clinic. So they've had some issues in the past.
Not good.
And that is what I have right now for the bizarre file. Let me give away my last $50 gift card for Primo's Hoagie. I have two of them.
Yeah.
Yay. Right.
Let's go. Thanks again to Primo Hoagies for feeding us this morning. Mm-mm, good. Whether you're watching the game with friends or hosting for the holidays, don't forget to pick up the best tasting hoagies in the Delaware Valley. We'll take callers 15 and 16 at 215-263-WMMR with over 90 locations. Find yours at primohoagies.com. So we'll take those callers now, and we will give you those gift cards. Coming back in a moment, lesson question. See how well you've been paying attention today. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's see. So today we have a lesson question to ask of you, and the prize that we're going to give away is a pair of tickets to see Robert Kelly, great comedian, December 31st at Punchline. And the question that I think we're going to ask today is, who says goodbye to you when you leave the Vagina Museum? 215-263-WMMR. Okay? Let's see if you know the answer to that. Who says goodbye to you when you're leaving the Vagina Museum? 215-263-WMMR. That's the number. Call right now, and we will do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability, that's Heritage Business Systems. Now, a Xerox-owned company. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kanye West is reportedly so enamored of his ranch in Wyoming that he just plunked down $15 million on another 7,000-acre ranch right next to it. West says he will eventually need the extra space for his dinosaurs. Twenty-two-year-old Kylie Jenner has sold off 51% of her company, Kylie Cosmetics, to makeup giant Coty for a reported $600 million. Said Jenner, quote, "To think this all started with a dream and a glaring lie about the size of my lips."
And finally, Jennifer Aniston is adamantly denying a tabloid report that she's getting plastic surgery to fix her saggy knees. Aniston says it's all nonsense, and she's perfectly fine wearing her knee bras. That's Hollywood joke.
Her saggy knees?
Her saggy knees.
Is that a thing?
I guess it's a thing.
Kathy, you ever heard of women being concerned about saggy knees?
Yeah, it's just like extra skin, stretched out skin. Sure.
Okay.
All right. Saggy knees, Preston.
Fair enough. All right. Who says goodbye to you when you leave the Vagina Museum? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's see if we can find an answer to that question. I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
Rob, who says goodbye to you when you leave the Vagina Museum?
The butthole.
No.
Oh.
The butthole is around back, and the butthole was closing at one point, but no, that is not who. It's a being of sorts that says goodbye to you when you're leaving the Vagina Museum, which we found out is in London now, and it's actually a real place.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah.
So let's see if you know the answer, and I will go to Jim. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
How we doing?
Wonderful. Jim, who says goodbye to you at the Vagina Museum?
That would be E.T.
E.T., yeah. Yeah, Jim, hang on. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the one and only Robert Kelly, December 31st, 7:30 p.m. at Punchline, Philly. You can get tickets for Robert's December 30th and 31st shows at Ticketmaster.com. The shows are 21 and over, by the way. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3. WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
All right, have some interesting stories for you today. Report from TMZ says that Eddie Van Halen is resting at home after spending several days in the hospital due to complications from his treatment for cancer. According to sources close to the legendary musician, Eddie was admitted to the hospital last week with abdominal pain and intestinal issues.
Reaction to the medicine?
I believe so. Both issues were reportedly a bad reaction to the drugs that he was taking for throat cancer. The icon was released from the hospital on Sunday. TMZ reported last month that Eddie has been traveling between the U.S. and Germany for several years now to get treatment for throat cancer. The guitarist had one-third of his tongue removed in 2000 due to the same ailment. The disease is said to be in check for now, and that Eddie seems to be doing okay, at least on the surface.
All right.
Reps for Eddie have not issued any official comments on the matter. Eddie, by the way, who does not appear often in public, has been photographed recently at a car dealership in Beverly Hills, a Tool concert in L.A., and a spinal neurosurgeon's office. Ozzy Osbourne and Green Day are the only two rock acts who will perform at the American Music Awards, which will air live from the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles this Sunday. Ozzy will join rapper Post Malone, Travis Scott, and Andrew Watt to perform Post Malone's song Take What You Want from his latest album, Hollywood's Bleeding. Ozzy's appearance will be his first live performance since canceling his entire 2019 tour schedule earlier this year as he battled illness and recovered from back surgery. Meanwhile, Green Day is celebrating the 25th anniversary of its breakthrough 1994 album, Dookie, and will perform the record's hit Basket Case at the awards, as well as Father of All, the title track from the veteran punk act's upcoming album. It's funny that the only two rock acts on the show are doing it as kind of Ozzy's is kind of novelty because he's just a part of a song.
Of a Post Malone song.
And then Green Day is celebrating the 25th anniversary. Now, but they do have new music out. I don't know if they're up for any awards. I don't think they are, but they're just kind of a throwback act.
Well, I believe, and we've said it many times before, I think the pendulum is due to swing back. This is the award show during which Taylor Swift will do her decades performance.
Artist of the Decade.
Artist of the Decade performance. Yep. She's got permission to use the songs now, right?
I don't know. Did that come through?
I believe that's the deal.
Okay.
They struck a deal.
Well, I hope so. Well, they've only been on the scene for a couple of years, but Greta Van Fleet is the subject of a new book titled Hard Work, The Greta Van Fleet Story. Really?
It's a little premature, don't you think?
The Greta Van Fleet Story.
It's more of a pamphlet.
Yeah.
It's a handout, a leaflet,
a flyer.
A flyer, if you will. Listen,
come on, you don't know their story yet.
They're doing great, but, you know.
It's four guys. I mean, that's four chapters, probably.
The first, on the first page, it says they're doing, and then you flip it over, it says great.
According to a press release, the unofficial hard work takes the band on an often surreal and edge-of-your-seat journey. At a time when popular music had become predictable, Greta Van Fleet brought its band of brand of guitar-heavy, very Led Zeppelin-like heavy metal to the public in trenches. Book by author Mark Shapiro includes interviews with local club owners from Greta Van Fleet's early days.
Come on. Last week.
Their life on the road as they played biker parties and bars before they were even old enough to be there. I mean, unless they were like 8 years old, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe they talk to the people that they attended daycare with.
A complete discography, including unreleased material, the band's itinerary.
I remember that he very much liked peanut butter.
Wait, a complete discography? They have an EP.
Yep.
Right?
It makes it easy.
This is a joke, right?
Now is the time to write the book.
Maybe there is like a deep story behind it, and you guys are going to feel silly later.
We will, yes.
Maybe.
Maybe they have traveled to other planets, Preston.
Greta Van Fleet.
Interdimensional travelers? We didn't even know. Okay. You guys may have heard this. I got a few texts and emails about it, but Motley Crue will reunite for a stadium tour with Def Leppard and Poison next year. I think I might have to see something like that. Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison on the same bill.
And what did we say? And what does Pierre say all the time?
Never,
ever listen to the farewell tour hype.
Now, this is according to Rolling Stone. It's not official yet.
Well, the video released by the band with Machine Gun Kelly narrating, who was played Tommy Lee in the Dirt movie, is out there. Was that not sanctioned by the band?
Don't know.
Okay.
Let's see here. Yeah, so there's the crew posted the video with Machine Gun Kelly. It says here no official announcement regarding the stadium tour has been rolled out yet.
All right.
Now, they may say they're doing it, but we got to hear from Def Leppard, Poison, Crew, the tour saying this
is happening. I gotcha. Okay. All right.
So fans who shelled out for the band's 2014-15 farewell tour were led to believe that the group would officially retire after playing its final show in December 2015 at the Forum Los Angeles. The band touted the signing of a pre-tour cessation of touring agreement as cementing the fact it truly was the end of Crue's life on the road.
What's the audio we have of this?
It's the audio from the video, and it is Machine Gun Kelly talking about the deal. So what happens is you're seeing scenes of the band, and then they come in on this contract the president's talking about, the cessation of touring, and the entire office on which this document is laying blows to bits.
Here's the audio.
In 2014, Motley Crue announced their final tour, putting an end to almost 35 years on the road. To make it official, they signed an unprecedented contract. In the years since, Motley Crue became more popular than ever and gained an entirely new legion of fans who, along with diehard crew heads, demanded the band tear up that stupid contract and come out of retirement. They knew that if they were ever to stand on stage together again, that contract would have to be destroyed. Well, destruction has never been an issue for Motley Crue.
So backstage at a 2014 show in Denver, Nikki Sixx told Rolling Stone, "Legally, we can't play again." He said the only loophole is if all four band members agreed to do it, we could override our own contract. But we know that that will never happen. There are people in this band who will refuse to ever do it again. And you're talking to one of them. There is no amount of money that would ever make me do it again because I have such pride in how we're ending it. He went on to say if anybody ever, and I don't believe anybody would ever, would call any other band members and say, hey, it's been 10 years. Let's just do 10 shows, a million a pop. It could never happen unless all four band members agreed. And if we did agree, the way that we've set it up, including this conversation right now, we'd have so much egg on our face. We have so much pride that that alone would stop it. Earlier this year, Nikki doubled down on the band's retirement from the road, telling the magazine, sometimes I look out at my friends like the guys in Aerosmith and Metallica, and I'm like, God damn it, did we retire too soon?
Yeah, you did.
And he said, but there will be no one-offs in our future. Maybe we'll just get together and jam in Mick Mars' front room. So, I don't know, man.
They made a stupid move.
Yeah.
They did a dumb contract, and they realized there's a lot more money to be made. That Netflix movie came out with that chick and the squirting scene in the beginning. And everyone went nuts. So now they're going to go back out and tour and make a whole ass load of money. I was in the movie, too.
Yeah, this Machine Gun Kelly. So, hey, man, you know, yeah. I mean, listen, the Stones retired in 1980.
Yeah. I would love
1980.
Yeah.
That, is it 80 or 82?
That didn't take, did it?
It didn't take.
I think the Who did their farewell tour in 82.
Huh?
You know.
Yeah, maybe it was the Stones in 80 and then oh God.
And again, in that audio, the fan base has increased. The interest in the band has increased.
Dude, how much would you love to see them on the bill of like the MMRBQ?
That would be sensational.
Right?
It's funny, at some point in their lives, they must go, you know what? I don't know how to do anything else.
Right?
Yeah. You know?
What are you going to do with your days?
Well, all right,
since so then that they decided to sell pregnancy tests at the dollar store. Every one of them. None of them believed they were accurate, but then they found out they were.
So you've got Kiss, and they're going to do their end of the road thing, and that's
we're selling chickens. To the
so we'll have to wait and see. All right, one last story. 16 years after he first headlined the festival, Paul McCartney will return to play England's Glastonbury 2020, and Paul hipped to the fans of the announcement by cryptically posting photos of composer Philip Glass, actress Emma Stone, and hero Chuck Berry.
Glass Stone Berry.
To his social media platforms.
I get it.
On June 27th, Paul and his band will headline the Pyramid Stage on Saturday night of Glastonbury 2020. So far, the Glastonbury gig is Paul's only official announced concert of the new year. Paul, who first headlined back in 2004, added, Hey, Glasto. Excited to be
Biddly. Glastonbury.
Excited to be a part of your anniversary celebrations. See you next summer. So he's going to be.
He should have included the short little video of Chuck Berry farting in the hooker's mouth.
Oh, my God.
You want to see something funny? Chuck Berry rips one in this hooker's mouth.
He did more than that, did he not?
It's a laugh.
Not in the video that we watched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a laugh. He rips ass in his hooker's mouth.
I can't.
Biddly.
There's video of that. I know, like not that just the act existed, that somebody took the time to record it.
Who was the Was there a third person?
Regis Philbin. I'm sorry. Could you do that again, Chuckster? The audio wasn't up,
Chuckster.
Regis Philbin was filming.
Hey, Chuck, did you fart in the hooker's mouth again? I missed it. The great chronicler of sexual conspiracy. Hey, Rob Lowe.
Oh, my God.
Every in-room. Hey, Mary and Barry, do some more blow.
Wow. Okay.
Do we want to relive it?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Yeah.
Hang kidding on. Me? Let's see if this is.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it keeps going to Chewy. What the hell is Chewy?
Is that the Chewbacca in a room with a hooker?
And nothing's coming up on that top screen.
Nah, things are going a little wacky on me over here.
All right, well, that's a sign telling us that we should not go to Chuck Berry farting in a hooker's mouth while Regis Philbin is recording it.
This is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. Do we have it yet?
Nah.
It just says Chewy.
I don't know what's going on.
We're watching the video.
We found the video. Oh, my God. We found graphic video.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God.
There we go.
Oh, my God. Is he?
Oh, yeah.
I think he just.
He did.
Did his business on her.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
That's.
And she got it in her eyes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Well, of course she did. She's not wearing goggles.
Look at her. She's.
And then he.
And now, Kathy,
you
want to see something, Kathy? Tell us what's going on.
Oh, my God, he's helping clear it out of her eye.
Oh, what a gentleman.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you think of this?
This is great. It's such a laugh. Chuck Berry just finished on some hooker's face.
Oh, my God. No, I think he's relieving himself.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah,
what a
depraved
gentleman he was. And I use the word gentleman lightly, but he, of course he was the king, the
The father of rock and roll.
Rock and roll, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But what songs he wrote?
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Nadine.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll and My Ding-a-Ling.
My yeah. Ding-a-Ling.
You know?
Yeah.
Casey, am I making this announcement?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. Do you want a drum roll or anything like that?
Sure.
Boodly,
boodly.
Okay,
boodly.
Boodly, 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 boodly. I don't know. This is just handed to me, so it says...
Chuck Berry?
No.
What?
Where's the date? Where is it? Where are they playing?
Right,
oh, here we go.
Right.
Who is it?
June 27th, the BB&T Pavilion, the Doobie Brothers.
Oh!
50th anniversary tour. This is pretty cool, though, because it will be featuring Tom Johnston, Michael McDonald, Pat Simmons, and John McPhee. So.
Well, that is the full
yeah.
Doobie arsenal, and Johnston was... responsible for some of my favorite Doobie songs.
Yep, and Michael McDonald is an amazing musician. And
that's right.
Yeah, that's
right. Hey, did you see that video? Chuck Berry, fortune of hooker's mouth.
Let's see here. June 27th, BB&T Pavilion, and tickets are on sale Friday.
Wow.
December 6th.
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com.
So China Grove, all of those. I mean, obviously, they played all the songs in concert anyway, but you're going to have the original gentleman involved. Great, great band.
Mm-hmm. Lots of great songs. All right, cool. Just thought we would pass that information along after Chuck Berry farting in a hooker's mouth and apparently urinating on her, too. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second.
What a world.
What a world. Show. We have the Letter of the Day for the Word of the Week prize that we reveal in just a moment or two. Stay with us. We'll be back in a little bit.
Wow.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come, so don't let me
Shine Down.
My monsters are real, and they're trained allergy.
Ghost.
Because it's mine.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
An enjoyable program today. Thank you to Primo Hoagies for dropping off some goodies for us. Check them out at PrimoHoagies.com. And we have one more prize to award before we wrap for the day. Today is Tattoos Day. So, yeah.
Tattoo.
We need to give away a Preston and Steve tattoo. We're going to do that very thing. Our winner today is from Burnville, Pennsylvania. It's Brian Hess, everybody.
Yay!
Brian gets a Preston and Steve tattoo courtesy of our friends from world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And they are located at 621 South 4th Street in South Philadelphia. And you never know, Brian might be tattooed by some of the area's top tattoo artists like Troy Temple. You can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo.com. So congratulations to you, sir. You know what I want to do? Before we leave, let me give something else away because I know we have this screening tomorrow night for the movie Knives Out. And it's at 7:30 at the Ritz East. And you know what? I should unload. I just gurgled. Let's do seven of these. 215-263-WMMR. And we'll give you movie passes. All right. So it's tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Ritz East. You want to get there by 7 to make sure you get in time, get yourself a seat and everything. But Knives Out, it looks like a really great movie.
Oh, they're rave reviews. It's an old-style whodunit in the Agatha Christie vein. You know, we did not get a chance to do it. Maybe we should hold it to tomorrow, but there's a sound that you emitted that we have yet to hear yet.
Yeah, the click.
Yeah.
The Preston click. All right, we'll hold off on that.
Yeah, I don't want to build it up too much.
No,
I mean,
but
it's not as epic as...
Well, there are masters and there are apprentices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
My Padawan over here.
Man, I just gurgled a tiny bit, and that, you know, spoke to you guys. But Nick is the real maestro around here. Pierre Robert is indeed in the studio. Hey, man.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Fine, thank you. The Rolling Stones never did a farewell tour, ever. Not in 1980, not in 1982, never, ever, ever.
They broke up.
Never.
Never?
Nope.
I thought
they,
that they...
They were not playing for a while, but they
had
never...
They had a falling out?
They had some falling outs. But they never called it a breakup.
There was never a formal, we're done.
No. And there was never a farewell tour.
Right.
To their credit. The Who did do a 1982 farewell tour that I rushed to get tickets for. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And went to Veterans Stadium, or JFK Stadium, actually. And so, oh, my God, I'm never going to see them again. And I couldn't afford to go to... Did I tell you this story before?
No.
Couldn't tell you. I couldn't afford to go to the final show in Toronto. So they were simulcasting it at the Tower Theater. And I paid $10 and went and sat in the Tower Theater and watched a simulcast of the final, the quote, final show of The Who in 1982 from Toronto.
Were you with MMR at the time? Yeah. You must have been working here.
Just barely, but just, yeah. And I'm going, oh, I can't believe it. Because, I mean, I saw them with Keith Moon three times, and I was just, no, this can't be, this can't be. And, of course, it wasn't.
I think I sort of paraphrased your assessment that never trust the farewell tour. It seldom sticks.
Now, did Motley Crue actually say they're going to do one? Or
so every indication is that they want to do the tour. As Preston says, the video was issued with them blowing up this contract and making this big thing about this.
Right.
So they sanctioned that. So that is what they're, we understand in this tour that Preston announced with these other bands, with Def Leppard and, who else, Cinderella, was it, who else?
Cinderella and Poison. And, hang on. I got this.
Def Leppard, right?
Yeah, Def Leppard.
Yeah. So, we don't have a confirmation on that aspect of it. So
I just think it lessens their credibility. I think it takes something from them, not a huge amount. But when you say a farewell tour and then you come back 5 years later, and many bands have done it, you know, and I love most of the bands that have done it.
It should be more like an au revoir tour, right? So we'll...
How about you just don't
tour? See you later tour.
See you later tour.
How about if you just don't tour if you don't want to tour, and then tour if you want to tour?
Right.
But when you say it's farewell, you should mean it. Johnny Carson did his last show and never appeared
again. That
was
it, yep.
And to his credit, I think, you know, there's something about doing what you say you're going to do, and the farewell thing is just has to be not taken with a grain, but buckets, gallons of salt.
Yeah, and they're very popular now, though. Did you ever see the Netflix movie, The Dirt?
I didn't, no.
Okay.
But I want to.
It's a lot of fun, it really is.
I like Motley Crue, too. I think it'd be fun to see them. But I wouldn't have done a farewell tour were I them. But then, if you're going to go to sign the contract, then you're going to blow there, for heaven's sakes. At least Cher is on her eighth farewell tour, and she calls it like that. She says, yeah. And the Eagles did that, too. Glenn Frey, before he passed away, he goes, this is, I think, farewell number 7. Is that right, Don? No, he goes, it's farewell number 8, Glenn.
So. I guess they wonder if, you know, I mean, it depends on if there's still interest out there or not, you know.
It's like the going out of business sale.
Right.
Yeah. If all of a sudden they didn't realize that, we can actually keep doing this, you know, instead of trying to squeeze every bit of it out of the, I don't know who that was.
That's why.
Ah, hell.
That's why I love the Stones, because they never did a farewell tour.
I thought they did. I thought 1980, they were going to wrap it up.
I can assure you that is not the case.
Okay. All right. Well, if anyone would know, it'd be you.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't know much. But
you know
I love
us.
Yeah.
I know, and I know I love you so much. I love you even more than I love the farewell tour of The Who.
Well, I would love to get the letter out of you. You ready to go?
Yeah.
It's me being a segue dude. Here we go.
Okay, we got to go, Matt.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Say Santa's got to go.
Yeah, Santa's got
to
go.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Oh, as in, oh my.
All right, and we have a 4-pack of tickets as MMR Rocks Tool at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City Friday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Did you go? You didn't go to the Tool show last
I did.
Week. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. And thoughts?
It was wild. I'd never seen them before. I did not realize that Maynard did not even...
He hides in the back.
He doesn't come in onto the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. There's two giant platforms on either side of the drum kit, and he's crouched kind of like an animal a lot there, and then he'll stand up and do a scene. But they didn't even put a spotlight on him when he was singing. It was really
fascinating. He's a real arty dude.
Right.
He's an odd character.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of a recluse, I've heard, too.
Can be, yeah.
But amazing show, amazing production, and we'll talk about it more. and play some.
We had him on a few years ago, and I remember leading into that interview being a little intimidated and thinking, what are we going to get out of this?
Right.
I don't know what to expect from this guy. And he was nice enough.
He was good.
He's a smidge quiet, but he was a nice enough guy. And, he's just, he's one of those arty types. It's just a little bit out there and a minor genius in some ways, right.
It was interesting, though, because he doesn't want to stand out, and yet he had this giant mohawk, this beautiful mohawk, and he had face paint, this black face paint all over both eyes, and these red plaid wild pants and a black leather jacket. So he looked quite exotic, even though he didn't want to stand out.
He's all done up, but you're not really seeing him a lot.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, anything else? Are we good?
Yes. No, we're not good.
Okay, good.
I mean, because...
We still have issues to hash out, buddy.
We have 10 minutes left in the therapy session, okay? Okay. And we're going to get our money's worth, okay? No, speaking of end of the road, I have Kiss end of the road tickets.
There you go.
For their 79th farewell tour, which will be August 29th down in Atlantic City. Goes on sale on Friday. Wouldn't want to miss that because you'll never see them again.
Never.
Bob.
Except at the chicken
stand. Except at the chicken festival.
Yeah.
In Tuscaloosa.
Friend of mine works security and was with Gene Simmons one time, and he took some gum out of his mouth and spit it into a little container, and he held it in his hands, and he goes, $500. Possibly.
Yeah.
You could sell it for $500.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have workforce blocks of The Killers and Queen and Bob Marley and those fabulous Kiss tickets to give away.
Awesome. Thank you, Pierre. I want to thank our sponsors, by the way. Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also Wilmington University. Experience the WilmU difference by visiting wilmu.edu. Tomorrow we are scheduled to go live on Fox Good Day. Don't forget, the Great American Smokeout is coming up on Thursday, so we'll have more chances for you to be here for that tomorrow morning, and a bunch of other prizes that we'll have your opportunity to win. That's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. I don't know who needs to hear this, but nobody, and I do mean nobody, on Facebook gives a damn about how fit you're getting. It's winter. It's fat season. Leave us alone. I'm looking for the ham. I'm looking for the turkey. Get out of my face.
Next message.
WMMR rocks. Philadelphia rocks. And Tool was boulders. It was awesome. Happy Tuesday. Enjoy the show. That everyone was there. It was freaking awesome.
Next message.
There is no greater feeling than being in a phase six as a rideshare driver in Philly. I can't find a bathroom.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.